News Talk 600.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. New numbers on the jobs market released this morning by the Labor Department. Details from ABC's Scott Goldberg.
The Labor Department says U.S. employers added 217,000 jobs in May, which is about what economists were predicting. It's down slightly from the 282,000 created in April, and that number was revised downward just a little. But this means May continued a trend that J.J. Hinahan with TD Ameritrade called slow and steady growth.
This report did have quality jobs created.
The unemployment rate held steady since the 60s. The jobs creation was higher than it was earlier this year. President Obama went to the coast of Normandy, France, this morning for the 70th anniversary of D-Day. Aircraft flyover from the ceremony. More from ABC News White House correspondent Jonathan Carl.
A moment to remember. Heroes of D-Day gathered this morning on the bluffs above Omaha Beach, where 70 years ago they fought one of the most important battles of all time. And today received a rousing tribute from the president. Most of these D-Day heroes are in their 90s. For many, it will be the last time that they hear the world pay tribute to their sacrifice. More Americans died here on the shores of Normandy in 24 hours and 10 years in war.
Those men wage war, said the president, so we. Police in Seattle say a student was dead with a 26-year-old gunman after opening fire at Seattle Pacific University. Other students jumped on top of the man, pinned him down. The 19-year-old was killed in the attack. The Moncton manhunt is now over. Police in Brunswick, Canada, said a 24-year-old suspect in the shooting death of three police officers in custody. This is ABC.
I'm Murphy, a service tech at a Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center.
I need help.
They always do.
I'm overdue for an oil change.
No problem.
Well, rotation.
Got it. Hop off the roof. Yep. Check the battery and filter. Roger.
The sprocket locket.
No such
thing. If you're listening, not today's Saturday, and I don't have an appointment.
Now you do. Very cool.
No appointment necessary. Weekend hours and train techs ready to give your car the works. Quick Lane is. Lane is, sir. Visit quicklane.com.
Tony Stewart here to tell you about a way veterans can service members and fast track well-deserved benefits. Call eVeterans, the website created by the DOD to give veterans, service members, and families instant access to more than 20 benefits and services. The way to service and serve veterans. To get started, just go to www.eveterans.va.gov or just do a search for VA benefits.
Brought to you by the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Say a patient in Texas is the fourth person in the U.S. to die of a mad cow-related disease. Centers for Disease Control saying in three previous cases, infection probably happened outside the country. California Chrome, the horse that's won two-thirds of the Triple Crown, prepping for part three.
Here along the rails of Belmont Park on this beautiful day before the 146th running of the Belmont Stakes, you watch California Chrome and you wonder, will the horse be able to do it? He's dubbed America's horse, and he'll break on Saturday with the number two horse position. 11 Belmont winners have come out of that vote, but he's also going to be going up against a handful of horses that did not run the fire legs of the Triple Crown. Greatness, the Kentucky Derby. They will be fresher, but this horse is Josh Ted. It's special. Aaron Kittner, ABC News, Belmont Park, New York.
A lot of excitement for that race. Richard Davis, ABC News.
Here are some things you don't have to do to get the right car insurance at the right price from Safe Auto. You don't have to bundle. You don't have to keep switching. Safe Auto keeps it simple so you can get on with your life. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Broadcasting from the Ford studio. Ford Fusion helps you stay connected with available voice-activated SYNC technology.
Get one now for only $1.99 a month.
For details, visit drive1ohio.com.
Well, they're fairly existing. veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me. Coming home can be harder than expected, but it turns out I wasn't alone. At IADA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing transition home or everyday tasks like finding a nice sweater for my dog. Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IADA.org. We got your back.
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Michael Savage, weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
It might be crazy what the people say. The healthcare law is here to stay. I hope that they're all wrong, as a matter of fact. Let us pray the midterm vote can take it back. It's whack, because crummy pop along if your healthcare premium is through the roof. Getting screwed, how rude, because I'm coming along. It brings me down that Obamacare. It brings me down that Obamacare. Bring me down because the cost is too high. Bring me down that Obamacare. Bring me down because I'm not alone.
Death paddles. Yeah. Yeah, anybody having that problem, give me a call here. It's Morning with Tracy and Friends. It numbers here 1-347-945-5229 here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. Also, we are broadcasting to you live on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. And we're talking to you also on TracyandFriends.com. As well, so you can find us somewhere everywhere, iHeartRadio. And don't forget the WSOM right here has a WSOM app that you can put on your smartphone, your tablet, all whatever thing you want to put it on, and you can listen in and talk to us and deal with us and do all that good stuff. Good morning. It is Friday morning. It's the end of the week. Stuff is crazy. It's the 70th anniversary of D-Day out there, and so we celebrate all of those that fought in World War II, all of those that went to Normandy and are still living, and those that aren't living, we remember them all and thank them for their service, because we put down tyranny in Europe at that particular time. It doesn't seem like we're looking to put down tyranny anyplace else but long time ago. I have my young intern here today with me, Aaron Brzozowski. Brzozowski. I can't, you know.
AJ's easier to remember.
AJ is in the house with me. He's hanging out. And we're going to talk to you today about what's on our mind, and we want to hear from you what's on your mind. The local number here is 330-781-9600. So, Pianchi, I see that you pulled up early. You know, you want to be my manager, man, and we can go on tour?
Got that right, boy. I can see dollar signs already.
Well, fly on in here, man. I got quite a few of them.
I was going into the weekend, pounding my head, figuring out how I'm going to get out of all this mess. Then lo and behold, this song came across. Jeff, you're remarkable.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
Where can I get a copy?
I can get you together. We're going to do that pretty soon. We're going to do
Blue
that pretty soon.
Channel is already headed this way.
Well, anyway, what's going on with you, Pianchi?
Well, the same old thing, man. Well, you know, I spent a lot of time working. Yesterday we had a nice camp with young people in baseball. That's what I spent a lot of time with. I enjoyed my, of course, my grandson. I've been training him since he was about 5. He's 17 now and a prospect. So I enjoy doing that right now. When he go off to college, then I will get into something else I've been planning on doing. People still complaining, suffering. Same old excuses, same old storylines. What can I say, Jeff?
I don't know, my brother. I don't know what to do. I just got surprised by one of my callers because he came in here and looked like he's 2 years old. go ahead. Come on, Barry.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, man. What's up with you?
Great.
Wait a minute.
Good to be here.
It's good for you to be here. I got Alex and Aaron in the room with me today. Alex has been calling in from Florida, and then he disappeared for a while, and then he ended up, we started hearing cows in the background, so we knew he was in Texas. So, man, good morning. I'm glad to have everybody here, and we invite you to call us and talk about whatever you want to talk about. We got Pianchi on the phone right now. And we're just going to have a little bit of fun here today if we can. Because the week has been serious. There's been a lot of things going on.
Oh, yeah.
And very, very ridiculous types of things going on, I feel. But at the same time, I understand one thing, that politics is very, very unpredictable a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And when you do the politics a certain way, then you're going to get craziness going on, and that's what we're doing. Right now. Well, but go ahead, Pianchi. Go ahead and make your point.
Well, you did a very eloquent job of it. I mean, y'all talking about the politics as far as the trade for a deserter for Al-Qaeda accomplices. I can understand that. And it has made a lot of stories around the world.
Well, the one thing that I wanted to say about that is I listened to talk radio yesterday. I listened to a ton of TV. And whenever somebody from, you know, the side that supports this or talking, they hit the emotional button of that's my, you know, what if that was your son? Wouldn't you want them to have traded these guys, this, that, and other? Nobody's taking into account the seriousness of who the five were that they released. Now, I know why he did it. And in my mind, he did it because now he has no reason to keep Gitmo open because he's given up the worst of Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, these same five Al-Qaeda people are going to come back somewhere.
Jeff, I got to ask you. Now, when I saw this whole thing, you know, this story, my question is, was that the only possible way to free this soldier? I mean, when I looked at the story, I'm like, these are five, that's a big trade. These are five Taliban, you know, leaders. Was that the only possible way that we could get this soldier free was to release five Taliban leaders? Alex?
I think we have to consider all possibilities here. I think that there's a possibility that there's some strategy by our illustrious president.
So, I agree with that.
So, yeah. You know, I don't think this is necessarily information that we were supposed to even know, but there's, you know, there's an innumerable number of possibilities of the strategy here. Perhaps they're using them to lead them back to the different splinter factions and the different terrorist cells so that they can more effectively fight the war on terror. So there's many possibilities here because they're not doing us any good sitting in Guantanamo because there's only so much information they can tell you over several years. And so if you let them go back out, then perhaps that tells you something. So everyone knows I don't care for Barack Obama, but I think that he's our commander in chief, and so he's privy to a lot more information than we are. Mm-hmm. And so, perhaps I'm sure there's a good reason in his mind why he did it.
So what you're saying is you think that there's something behind this, like something good could come out of this, not just only that there's a soldier free, but that eventually we will get the full story of something better will come out of this trade. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it matters if we get the full story or not. because we never do.
You're right.
Well, that's probably true.
So, I do think that it's good that, you know, we got a soldier back.
Yeah.
There's always, I think that when we talk about getting something good, I don't think that I repeat that, you know, we've had these people in Guantanamo for years. Mm. There's only so much information you can get out of them.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get any more good out of them just detaining them.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless we want to, you know, really leapfrog some ethics here, moral immorality, and just execute these people without a, you know, trial or anything.
Right.
Then what do? Do you continue to suspend their human rights and detain them? So let them go. And if they, you know, I can see the logic in doing that.
Mm-hmm. But letting them go, is that risky for, are we just going to wait until they do something else that lands them back in Guantanamo Bay? or do we keep an eye on them? Or what draws the line to how far can they get away from us before they do something bad again? Do you know what I mean?
Well, they don't belong to us in the first place.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if our CIA stuck a
chip in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, give them a shot of something that tracks them. That's what I was just thinking, actually.
Well, we're going to see that for sure, because they do have the technology to make that happen. Now, I don't know whether they have the technology to, the tracking is only going to last so long unless it's done by isotope. And so, and that means that it have to be in the blood, something in the blood system that stays there, because they'll find a device, they'll find a chip on them.
Oh yeah.
You know, even though they live very, simple lives where they still live in dirt floor caves and things like that, that's going to be something we're going to have to take a look at.
Oh yeah.
We're about to take a short pause for the cause here, and once short again, this is a morning with Tracy and Friends. I have Aaron, our AJ, our young intern, and I have Alex, the most famous Alex, Gary Johnson in 2016, and that's where we're going with. And he's convinced me. I am now with him. Be right back after these messages.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the March Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the March Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse, once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is, as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
In honor of our in-house guest, Alex. Alex, whipping on him, brother. Yes, I whip it on him, Alex. Listen, y'all, this is Alex. He coming in right now. Watch this. Oh, no, it goes a while. This was my favorite song when I was single in those days, right? When this was out, this song would get you in trouble, man.
Yeah.
This song would get you in real big trouble.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Barry White was no joke. this would get you in trouble. I know you can say something to that, Alabama. You ain't older than me, but see, now, don't get mad now because I use Ebonics now, because that's okay. It's okay. Because I'm like Obama. I don't have to use that dialogue unless I want to.
Barry White is
but this
you,
is an honor
to
Alex being here today. Because I tell him he sound like Barry White. Here you go. You touch a but don't you know? See, yeah. You look how smooth he is. Look how smooth. See? No, baby. Goes to one state after another at will. He can do whatever he want to do. Come on, y'all. Yes, sir. Alabama, you're in there.
Yeah, I was trying to say that Barry White is like Jodeci for me. Like, that's how I look at Jodeci. Jodeci will get you in trouble. It's
oh, my God,
trouble
I'm sure.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I was just calling, man, just checking while I'm heading to work or whatever. Alex put me down, man. I came down to Orlando. He ain't even holler at me, man.
He ain't in Orlando no
down
more.
There, called Alex. Yeah, I had called him. I think it was before he left. I had called.
Oh, okay.
I said, yo, man, I'm going to be down there, man. I'm going to hit you up. And he said he's on a cruise or something. But anyway.
Well, I'm
gonna
be down
going
in the... I'm coming to Atlanta in August, man. So you bet you got to run
yeah,
over.
Yeah, we go to Spundivers. I get some real seafood.
I heard that, man. You know what? If I'm there more than one
yeah,
day,
you better bring $100 though. You better bring $100.
All right, dog. Real seafood, I'm sure.
I just had something this weekend.
I understand why Red Lobster's going out of business or having a hard time.
They are
because. Oh, they're having a hard day. You know, they sold Red Lobster.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So who?
Darden sold Red Lobster to somebody. They're going to keep it going, but the thing is they were having a hard time. And I'm saying they got rid of everything that was good. Wait a minute, man. I got to let this call in. Go ahead. You just couldn't stay off the phone, could you?
No, I got a text message from Alex telling me he's going to be late. So I just want to let you know.
Barry is sitting right here in front of me. He looked like he's 2 years old.
I know.
I had to ask him for ID to get in here.
I know. Good morning, everyone. How are you guys?
Good morning, Tracy. How you doing?
Morning, Tracy.
Hey, welcome to Tracy and Friends. Alex, thanks for stopping in. I'm quite sure you'll have a great day today.
I'm gonna try.
Hey, AJ, how you doing?
Hey, Tracy, I'm pretty good. How are you? Miss you.
I miss you, too. I'll see you next week.
That sounds
welcome
great.
Welcome back.
Hey,
thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Get out of there. We're going Gary Johnson in 2016. You got to get out of Columbus.
as long as the convention's in Cleveland, I'll be okay.
I know that's right. How soon will we know this? Well, it's a while before they have to tell us, but...
Well, I don't think it's a while, because the cities have to prepare. That's why it's done so early.
I got you.
Because you've got thousands and thousands of people that are going to converge on it, so the preparation is really important.
Absolutely.
So
I got you.
It doesn't get too much longer. But you guys have a good day. I'm not even going to comment on anything you can say about I'll fight with Alex when I get home later on today.
Hey, you didn't hear Happy play, did you?
No, I did not. I heard Barry White.
Oh, don't do it again.
Alex.
Don't do it.
What? Wait a minute. No, I can't get it to work.
I need to have the keys, old man, Jeff.
Oh, man, this is your fault, Tracy.
Hey, don't worry, Alabama.
What's going on? What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Doc?
Hey, man, just slow motion, just heading to work.
That's what we do.
Say what?
Here it is again.
Crazy what the people
say. Did you hear this?
The healthcare law is here to stay. Oh, my goodness.
I hope it's all wrong, as a matter of fact.
Did you put this on YouTube yet, Jeff?
Let us pray.
You gotta put it on YouTube.
It's
gonna be stuck in my head all day.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
You gotta put it on YouTube.
Okay, we'll do that. It's not done yet.
What do you mean it's not done yet?
We gotta tweak something real quick. That's all right. Yeah, it's gonna be fun though.
No. It'll get you paid. You gotta just run it.
Hey, if I get paid, Pharrell comes in and takes it all. So what the heck can I do with that?
Oh.
Even though, we'll work it out. Watch this one. We're going to have some fun because, you know, I can do this all day long. This is what I do. Anyway, we're going to
have a good
fun.
Day. I'm going to just listen in. And the app is really, really nice. The WSOM app is really great. And if you are in your car and you're listening, if you check into the WSOM app, I'm quite sure you'll be very, very satisfied with how it plays.
Okay. Somebody's phone is making a lot of noise. But anyway, we'll be
me.
Okay. No, we. All right, now.
Have a good day, Tracy.
God bless and
okay.
Have a good day.
God bless. Okay. Yeah. Hey, Eric, you're in the air, sir. Eric! That was Eric. He must be working in a box factory or something. I said, my God, man. Eric, are you there? He's not hearing nothing. Okay, we'll catch up to Eric later. Anyway, what you guys want to talk about? I'm tired. I've been tired all week long.
What is it?
No, I'm put out. Michigan, man, I see you hanging in there, brother. But anyway, or is that Philly? It might be Philly. I can't tell. But
I want to drop a subject.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, I
want to interject the subject just to see what you guys thought of it. What do you guys think, of Gary Johnson in 2016 since you've been talking about it? Like, what you guys think about it? Like, do you think about a real third party, like, as being a viable option, as actually getting somewhere, getting some traction? Because, I mean, you got to infiltrate the media in order to really run a third party.
Well, me myself, I think that that once the people get fed up, it is going to be a viable option, and probably just where Alex is at with the a Libertarian Party is going to be the wise option to go for real conservatives and those that want to have some type of a cohesive government of having you know the form of government that we have based on how we do things. We're not communistic. Mm-hmm. Now I can't think of the name of it, but capitalistic society. Capitalism creates wealth. It creates ideas. It creates the creativity in people because it gives you an incentive to do something. Mm-hmm. When you have a government like what has been put in place over these last 6 years, that's why you have $2.5 trillion sitting offshore and $2 trillion sitting in American banks onshore, not doing anything because people can't get to this, you know, this craziness of redistribution. They're meeting President Obama, whether he wants this to happen or not, with a slap in the face because they're saying, well, you know, he's got us set up to where if we start spending money, he's going to take every bit of it. Mm-hmm. The EPA regulations the other day will wipe out business, cost $50 billion a year to do because of all of the things that they put on business. Mm-hmm. With this regulation. It's overregulated, and it's going to kill jobs. It's going to kill a lot of things.
Alex, I got to ask you, guessing you're a fan of Gary Johnson.
I voted for him.
Okay. What is it about him?
So did my daughter.
What is it about him that you like so much? Is it because he, you know, shares the same view as you, or is it you know, what is it about him that you favor him for?
He gets it. When it comes to what liberty really is,
mm-hmm.
people don't.
Go ahead, get in your mic. Huh?
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, one thing that people don't understand about, like when we talk about rights, people talk about gay rights and black, you know, civil rights and mm-hmm. all the women's rights and all these different rights. What people don't understand. What people don't realize is that rights do not come from government.
Right. That's a good
point. But you have progressives that try to, like Obama, that try to convince you that the government has to grant you your rights.
Absolutely.
So, but when
yeah.
we go back to our emancipatory documents,
yeah.
it is very clear and very spiritual that our rights are bestowed upon us by our Creator.
That's
absolutely.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
And so we have what they called inalienable rights. Our rights, we have natural rights just from being human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so those rights are not given to you by government, but the mm-hmm. purpose of government is not to grant rights, but to protect them.
Protect them.
That's
and so Gary Johnson, at the core, he is the only he was the only person on the national stage
uh-huh.
that actually gets it. Your mainstream Democrats and Republicans, they don't get it. They want to convince you that the government doles out rights because that gives them only more power. And so we want to we want to get away from that.
That's a better. That's a great answer. A lot better than the reason why I like my politician that I want running in 2016. You know, I'm a big fan of Rand Paul, and people ask me why, and I say, well, I like him because he's got a backbone, and I like that he, you know, he has that I'm not afraid to say what I think is right. And I think that was a big issue we had in 2012 when you know, when Mitt Romney ran. He really didn't have a backbone. I mean, there was a lot of things that were right and wrong about, you know, Mitt Romney, but one of them was he didn't really have a backbone. You know, he was. I think he was afraid to to stand up against the president, because you have the president, you know, talking about Big Bird. You have the president talking about, you know, anything that could he could do to destroy Mitt Romney. And he, Mitt Romney was just kind of like, oh, well, here's what I have to offer.
What you have to understand, though, is that Mitt Romney was at the core the same as Barack Obama.
Same.
He couldn't attack him because he would be inevitably attacking himself, and then Obama would just point out that he's a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. So this is the problem when we keep getting these middle-of-the-road Democrats and Republicans, or you know, Republicans to go against these Democrats, and so we have to have real conservatives.
Right, I agree with you. We'll get back to that. Local caller and Covina man, we'll get back to you right after this break. But we're going to have to pay some bills right now. Mornings with Tracy and Friends.
Need a mic open, man.
Okay, dog. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're going to leave the mics open as much as possible. Eric and Covina Man, you're in there with local caller. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The Mahoning County Drug Task Force is cracking down on...
That song is crappy, man.
Yeah, that's funny, man.
Man, I was about to smack down on Alex there, but he just took him a break. I might have to, you know, I'm gonna, give me a chance to calm down.
You know, when you listen to some of these people, and not to be overzealous, but when you listen to some whites, it's one thing that they align with is United States, and should I say Western hegemony, imperialism, and power over others. Even though we know that Taliban was created to be used by the U.S. and the West to disrupt governments. I mean, if you got Taliban fighters fighting against allied troops in Iraq, then you take them same fighters and you use them in Libya. I mean, what? Now they're fighting against allied troops in Iraq, killing American soldiers, then you take them same fighters and use them in Libya to overthrow Gaddafi, and then you're using them also in Syria. What did that tell you?
Al-Qaeda is the government. That's what it tells me.
So what's the big hoop about this release of these, what was it, five or three so-called Taliban leaders?
Felt like they were the same anyway. They're the same. I mean,
now you know what they're going to use them
like,
for?
You can't say that Al-Qaeda is the Taliban. That's the problem. I mean, you can't say that. These people.
Listen to this. If anything, they probably promised these folks some sort of command or some sort of leadership, because you know Ibrahim Jedran was one of the rebel leaders. Now he's in the eastern part of Libya, wanting to separate that country, that eastern part, from the rest of the country, so he can have his own country surrounded by oil. So guess what? What are you going to do with that?
Well, from what I hear, the people that took the Nigerian girls were created and funded through Libya, through the CIA created opposition in Libya. So that is all Boko Haram. That's our creation too. So it's almost like done there. All a lot of these terrorist organizations ain't nothing but us.
But
kind of crazy.
On top of that, what some of that might be hidden, but what's not hidden is, we went into Iraq for weapons of mass destruction, which we sold to him.
Well, that was a farce. They always come up with these farces, like the Rastak fire back during the time of Hitler. And I don't give a damn what nobody say. Hitler was a genius. If you study with an open mind, that stuff he's been demonized. But he ain't no more demon than anybody else. I mean, I can name a whole bunch of them. I get tired of going through all these arguments sometimes. Heck, you had the Jahil, who's the leader of the Libyan Transitional National Council, and also Hasidi. They all admit about the fighters that have Al-Qaeda links. So this is a bunch of crap. They're probably going to, these guys that they release, they're probably going to have them set up to try to further destabilize Central Africa. And this is about gaining control of the resources that China and India need in order to develop. Rather than letting these countries handle these transactions, these sales, these developments, in order to provide these countries with what they need, you got these outside forces want to come in and control these and be the one who's doing the selling and reaping the rewards. That's what it's all about. May not be entirely, but it has a lot to do with it. And Americans are getting duped. They're coughing up the tax dollars, coughing up the insurmountable debt to provide the military weapons and also the military strategies in order to put all this stuff together. And it's not serving America's not one dime. It's serving some special interests and some special entities.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you who's making money off that? That's who you gotta look at. Who's making the money?
And them the suckers that need to be put in prison and brought to justice and have Nuremberg trials.
Yes, either.
And
either.
We're going to start talking to you about what's on our mind. It's a quarter to the hour of 10 o'clock. Yep, that's right. Yeah. Okay. We're back. Local caller, you're in the air on WSOM 600 AM.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Because I want to give a shout-out to my girl, Diva.
Okay, she's not here, but go ahead, Rock.
Well, Jeff, while you were up the air, I was listening to Kamina Man and Alabama, and they were talking something that I pretty much agree on somewhat. I didn't know. I knew that our country pretty much was in the bed with big corporations, and I also believe that our president, I've always said that he was a puppet because, and I always said that he was also chosen by, the elite groups. So I think that the president himself, if he was really his own man and if he's really the so-called leader of the free world, and he really, I think that he would really do more for us as a people, but he can't because he's a puppet.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
You believe craziness, and that's okay. Kamina Man, you're in the air.
Going to respond to what
I told you
stop, Steve. I told Kamina Man to get on the air and let him talk, and
well,
that's,
maybe I'll get off the air then.
Well, that's up to you.
Tell me this, Jeff. You're calling me crazy by calling our president a puppet.
No, your president is a puppet. There's no doubt. All presidents are puppets because people put them in power. So there's no doubt about that. We're not going to argue that point. But that has nothing to do with why he doesn't do anything for black people. He doesn't do anything for black people because he doesn't want to.
Wait a minute.
He's been in there 6 freaking years. Don't start me today. I was really not angry this morning, okay?
Okay.
6 years he's been there, and he's given gay people stuff, he's given Hispanic stuff, he's given women stuff, he's given Muslim people stuff, and he hasn't given you a doggone thing, yet you sit up there just like cat dog, panting after him, and he hasn't done anything for you.
Behind the scene, he hasn't done.
What scene behind is it? Wait a minute. We're just doing you any doggone good when your unemployment rate is still climbing, and other people's is at least evening out, huh?
So what you're saying that he doesn't really care too much for us.
I'm not saying he doesn't care for you. He doesn't care about you. It's because you don't give him anything but a vote, and he can get your vote just by telling you that somebody trying to take your vote. He doesn't need to do anything for you. and he doesn't. That's politics. What did Bill Clinton say?
He's not really doing anything for white America.
Oh,
people.
Please.
Well, you mean,
do you see the stock market going through the freaking roof?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay, now, here it is. He's up there talking about income inequality. Then why is he feeding the rich people? Because the rich people that invest in the stock market, that have all those companies and things like that, are laughing all the way to the bank.
They're the ones who put him in power.
It's not all of them didn't, but the thing is he is. That's well. Thanks, Steve. Kavina, man, you're in the air.
Yeah, Jeff, you're just like Tracy.
No.
Uh-oh.
You're almost as bad.
Oh. Yes, sir. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, Alex is still there, right? Because Alex is one.
Absolutely, he's sitting right here across from me.
Okay. I'm gonna disagree with pretty much everything he said. I think that the government does give laws, give rights, because prior to civil rights or human rights, individuals had the liberty to have housing discrimination, voter discrimination, public accommodations discrimination. They were exercising their liberties under the Constitution to treat black people as subhumans.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay. See, when you set precedences with... Wait a minute. This is something I can't take. Now, I should let you finish out altogether, let you finish talking, but there's going to be so much stuff in there, I'll never get back to it. So hold on. Let me take notes first, and then I will be able to deal with that. Because guess what? That's insanity. But go ahead. You say that it was...
Yeah, I was saying
under the Constitution, you said, right?
I'm saying prior to civil rights, housing rights, voters' rights, the individual liberties, people had the ability to discriminate against black people in hiring, in housing, in voting, in life or death. You had the individual liberty to kill your black ass.
They're doing it right now. And stop cussing on air because we are on terrestrial radio as well.
Well, I thought that was a word you can use. But okay, they had to
kill
your
black behind. No, you can't use that.
Okay, to kill your black behind. And they had the individual liberties, right? They had the individual liberties, and they was doing everything they was going to do. It was being white as white can be. And the government had to come in and put a stop to the white people. Say, white people, you can't keep doing this. You can't. Keep taking away people's life and liberty.
Wait a minute.
And homes. What
white people were these that did this? If under the Constitution they had the right to discriminate against you, then what white people can? I ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm not done. Let me get the question out. Then what white people was it that changed that for you?
Well, I can tell you that.
No, let him tell me, because this is to the crux of all, and I'll bring you in a minute, Pialki.
The first white people to do that was 9 Supreme Court justices in Brown versus Board of Education, because they overturned previous federal laws and court decisions that said you weren't human. That was the Dred Scott decision. And other decisions that was the Supreme Court.
That was not what happened. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay, but I was saying that was the first one. That was the first group of white people that did that.
Let me address your first comment, though, your first point. You're incorrect when you say that it was constitutional.
Right.
Now, we all know about the Dred Scott case, and I think it was around 65, and because of that, the 14th Amendment was passed for equal protection under the law. And so under the Constitution since 1866, all of those things, it was not legal for people to discriminate against black people. That's just unfounded and untrue. The problem was that we had a lot of people in government that was blocking the constitutional actions. You had Democrats at the time blocking anti-lynching laws. You had Democrats in the late 1800s and early 1900s that instituted black codes and enforced them because they were the police, but even and they were unconstitutional, and that was recognized at the federal level in governments, but it took time to actually occur. But at least since the 14th Amendment was passed in 1866, all those things were always called out as illegal, unconstitutional, and a violation of our human rights. That was the very arguments of Garvey in the first place in the early 1900s and Malcolm X. They were saying that these things were a violation of our human rights, especially under the Constitution. But the problem was it was the enforcement of the law. And so, you know, there's no doubt that this country has some historic grievances, but the answer isn't more government. We have to figure out a better way of enforcing our Constitution.
Mm-hmm. So you have
and
to
the 14th Amendment was 1868.
But I'm saying you have to figure it out. You're trying to figure out. Well, how can I make this square peg fit into this round hole? Now everybody else already figured it out. There's no way. No one seriously is going to take your BS and vote it in. You're going to be a continually isolated, 15-30% or less of the population that believe that bullcrap. The rest of us are living in the real world. We not going to sit around and wait for you to figure out how to work your Constitution. We just going to go out here and get what we got to get.
Bianchi.
Well, I understand what he's saying. Alex, you're absolutely right. Before the passage of the 14th Amendment, blacks didn't have any rights. And duly so, because the country was founded for a certain people, for a certain people. You know, the funny thing about the 14th Amendment, when it would pass, the blacks that existed then still didn't have any rights, because the 14th Amendment gave those rights to people who was born after that date. And they just sort of just faded away. But I understand what he's saying, because the rights that we have today came by way of the federal courts. It didn't come by way of the state courts, and surely not by local court. It came by way of federal courts. It was a federal government, and the reason why is because federal judges cannot be removed. They're there for life. State judges are at the whim of the people, and blacks do not make up no majority of any state, even today, that they can control what goes on at a state level. They can influence, but they cannot control it.
Bianchi, just one note. We have to realize that in order for an amendment to the Constitution to be ratified, a supermajority of the states, of the state legislatures, have to vote for it. So
absolutely,
this is
three quarters.
This is something exactly. Three quarters wanted the 14th Amendment. Three quarters of this country wanted that amendment and recognized the human rights of black people, of African Americans. So this notion that, you know, it was legal to just violate our rights, it's just nonsense.
And, you know, the point is, during Plessy versus Ferguson was separately equal, which really wasn't a bad idea, except for one thing, the portion of equal was never enforced.
It was never enforced. Right, that's the black guy that you have on your side. You have Bianchi, who wants racism. Bianchi loves racism. And that's the dude that you're going to agree with you. Bianchi, tell him how much you love racism.
See, Covina, man, this is where you get into the realm of the ridiculous, though.
Well, let me ask you a question.
We're almost done. We're almost done, Doc. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead, answer him real quick, please.
What is your definition for racism, Covina, man?
I'm just telling you.
What is it? You say I love it. What is it?
Yeah, just tell us how much you love it, Bianchi.
Tell me what it is, because it's like a chameleon. Every other day I hear people describing something that's racism. So what is your definition for racism per this acquisition that you just applied to me?
And we're about to go to break, so it might get interrupted. So you want to wait or you want to go now?
Give him time to think about it.
Yeah, think about that. We're there now. We got to go. We'll be back on the other side of these messages. You guys will be able to talk.
Yeah, the comedian, and comedian man, you know, I agree with you on a lot of things, but, you know, I can't agree with you on everything. So I know where you're coming from with this definition of racism. You're coming from Francis Cress Wilson in a compensatory commercial code. I've heard those arguments all before.
But I wanted you to tell them how much you love racism. I've heard.
No, you tell me what your definition of racism is. I am racist.
Hold on
1 second. This is the thing, man. If we're going to get into a debate, right? If I insult someone and tell them that they are for getting beat across the head with dogs and hoses and treated like dirt, come on, man. Let's be realistic. No one is for that.
Alabama, I
no
didn't say that.
That. But what I'm saying is, I think Bianchi meant by good idea was that it would be good if blacks had their own economic base. That's
you're not
right. Of what
Bianchi
was talking about.
Blacks Ferguson was a good idea.
No,
blacks talk about it all the time.
Hold on. There's nothing racist about black people having their own economy.
Wait, what am I saying? I've talked to Bianchi on many different shows. You guys may only talk to him on this show. I've heard Bianchi on many shows, and I've heard how he loves racism.
What do you describe racism? So I just made a statement that Plessy versus Ferguson was a good idea, except that the separate was not never enforced. What's untrue about that?
Yeah,
I mean, just tell me, what's untrue about it? What is untrue when I say that it was never enforced? When did they enforce the ability for blacks to be separate, which they are even today? That's all you hear in the news, the resegregation of public schools, the resegregation of neighborhoods. Blacks have a right. Wait, let me finish. Blacks have a right, if they want to live amongst themselves and form their cohesive populations. And that's exactly what you have. It's about 20 of them in this country.
I guess he thinks that Nation of Islam loves racism, too, because that's what they want.
Yeah, they wanted the same thing. And I don't blame them. They got a right to want that.
Right.
No,
well,
I think what it is, you got an animosity against white folks. This is one thing I wish I could make happen. I wish I could have every white folks do one or two things. One, just at one time say, black people, I love you. Now what? And better yet, come next Monday, I wish every white folks in this country would just disappear. Then now what, black people?
You're on your own now. So let's see how cohesive we're going to be.
Well, the problem is you
not just that, but to interject also, if America was destroyed, you would still have to build a nation. You would have to have resources and wealth to be able to do something on your own. And no black people on this planet don't have anything. So if America was destroyed, it would be the Asians will run us. We'll hate the Asians next.
No,
we'll hate somebody because everybody got what we don't have, even though it's sitting in our own. So, go ahead, man.
The thing is, you have black folks who have been infected with white supremacy mindset, have grew up on it from television and school and sports and entertainment, and that's all they know. So you can remove the white people, but you're not going to remove the white supremacy that's in people's heads. They're not going to survive without white supremacy.
What makes this stop being a witch hunt, man?
Well, you guys, two people
like
saying...
It becomes a witch hunt after a while. After a while, everybody's a white supreme. Everybody's pro-white supreme. Everybody's Uncle Tom. Everybody's a coon. Eventually, well, man, maybe the guy just disagrees with you. Maybe he's not. Maybe he loves black people just like you.
Yeah.
He disagrees with that. Maybe,
no.
You know, that
no,
does happen.
We're able to decide who's full of it and who's not.
What do you mean affected by white supremacy? You mean acting white? Because I'm not going for that, man.
People shooting each other up. Why is people out here selling drugs to each other? Why is people out here bleaching their skin, bleaching their hair, wearing hair hats? There's a whole lot of things that people are doing that's infected by white supremacy. It's been infected by it.
You know what, Covina? I don't disagree with that on a certain level. I agree with you in that black people do have certain issues I see, but every time someone says something contrary to a certain belief, it's almost like you got to toe the line. Like with Donald Sterling, everybody was a coon that didn't think a certain way, and I just thought that was kind of messed up. Because black people, go be a man. If you ever run for office, or if you ever own something, and somebody found an old tape of you talking on this show, you can lose something. And you may be speaking from a pro-black stance, but it goes to that point. Black people don't have no power. So when you start throwing rocks, get ready, because we're going to get towed up way worse than a wealthy white guy who's going to get $2 billion.
Right. My thing is, I think black people are infected, like they caught a virus, a cold, and they're sick, and they can't get over it. And that's what white supremacy has done to people. That's why they go out here shooting each other. They go over here set tripping and all that nonsense, having babies out of wedlock and all that stuff. All that stuff that Jeff talking about from abortion, all that stuff, all that is the result of black folks being sick. They're sick.
Well, you know, you just don't want to admit, too, that all black folks are not the same.
Of course black folks aren't the same. I'm just saying, but we're all infected.
If we took the blacks, here's the point. I don't have nothing wrong. The black people that follow Miss Wilson's theory, why don't they already show up at her speeches, agendas, why don't they go ahead and come together and do these things that's not being done? Because being that we different, being that blacks are all different, you got the difference that lie within those who follow her theory. You got the difference between those who follow the Hebrew Israelites theory. You got the difference between all these different ideologies. Why
That's
don't
the
these
problem,
ideologies
though,
in a small group go ahead
Pianchi.
And do what they're going to do?
Hold on, Pianchi, because you got to agree on everything that the other black man agrees with, or you just don't get it, or we can't work together because you're a Christian, you're a Hebrew Israelite, you're a Muslim,
you're absolutely
you're
right. What they
want to
do.
Yeah.
What they want to do is bring all black folks
sit around
in on their ideology,
masturbate all day.
It ain't gonna work.
You gotta intellectually sit there and masturbate all day. It ain't gonna ever get nothing to go out and do something that's really gonna change something.
Out here. This is not finished yet. It's a song I wrote for my daughter way back when she was born. I ain't gonna tell you how old she is now. Oh man, good morning everybody here live on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, on WSOM 600 AM on your iHeart radio dial, and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. And sorry about that, you guys are in. Everybody, Larry, I was getting ready to bring you in, but I know you're probably busy out there, and that's okay, because we've been talking about things that have happened, and people have so much misinformation. But, Kavina, man, you were asked a question before we went to break by Pianchi. And he asked what your definition of racism was. And I know why he asked it, so why don't you go ahead and expound so we can understand where you're probably coming from.
Yeah, there's only one racism on the planet Earth, and that is white supremacy. White people are working together to keep all the rest of the world and the known universe under oppression. That's it. That's the definition of racism.
And how do they accomplish this when you have a place called China?
But who do they sell these products to?
That was a long pause.
Yeah, it was. We don't want to look. Kavina Man is our friend. I rest my case. In other words, I don't have no response.
Hold on, Alabama. I'm gonna bring you in a second.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kavina Man.
I was just gonna say this. Pianchi had asked during the break a very important question. He had asked, why don't the people who believe in, you know, X amount, whatever, come together and formulate their own community? And when he pointed to Dr. Chris Wilson, and her ideology is not a complete, it's not a constitution. It's like a set of toolboxes. In your toolbox, you have hammers, you have nails, you have saws, you have different stuff in your toolbox. It isn't because you have a toolbox don't mean you have a house. You use that toolbox to help you go build stuff and keep stuff running. That's what you understand white supremacy. It's not there to, oh, we're going to go out there and we're going to do something just because we understand white supremacy. You use it in your everyday apparatus. Whatever you're doing, you understand white supremacy.
What? Well, you know, Kavina, man, I consider you a very intelligent person. I've listened to you, and I'm not going to argue with you. And it's a lot of things I agree with you, but I'm just going to let it rest at that. Okay?
Alabama, go ahead.
Yeah, the point I was trying to make was that, well, first of all, two points. The first point was when Alex was talking about your rights coming from Creator, government. I say that, well, no, they didn't. They came from the government. I think the Creator predates the government. And before America was established, before the American government was established, we had rights. And if someone comes and tries to take your rights and stop you where you can't feed your family or take you and enslave you, I think you have a God-given right to fight for your own freedom. That's what happened with the Haitian Revolution. So to sit and say, well, it's all given from the government is a dangerous thing to say. Secondly, to focus on the actual white people being, he was the point he made about racism. He has a point in that they own control 9% of the wealth of the world.
You're breaking up real bad, Alabama.
Okay.
You're breaking up. Yeah, you're breaking up. We're not hearing anything you're saying. Your sentences and words are cut up. Sorry about that. Try to get into a better location.
You know, I want Kavina Man to know that I do understand where he's coming from. I recognize the forces of white supremacy, its system, its structure, the way it's operated over the last 6,000 years. We've probably read a lot of the same books, I get it. I really do. But what I'm saying is that different people, based on their different backgrounds, regardless of who they are, whether they hail from Europe, Africa, Asia, Arabia, Aborigines, Native, whatever, everybody has their own interests. Everyone is going to do what's in their own particular interests. Like Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, she put forth a theory to psychoanalyze the aggressive European behavior which is white supremacy. But the thing about it is we're always going to have conflicting interests with people that aren't from our exact same background, whether Chinese, Australian, whatever. The point, though, is that there's nothing you can do about that. And the only way that we can live together in peace, you know, for the most part, is under a constitution that recognizes our natural rights as human beings. And the constitution just codifies those, you know, the first 10 amendments, they just codified those natural rights that people as human beings have. Your freedom of speech, the freedom to believe whatever you want to believe, the freedom to have your own personal, your own privacy and your own personal effects, you know, the right to defend yourself and so forth and so on. So that's all that I'm saying, you know, and really there's nothing you can do about the conflicting interests that other people have. The only thing that we can do to live together so that different people can live together is at least honor one thing, and that is people's natural rights given to them because they are human. Mm-hmm. And when you look at government, because government is only force, nothing comes out of government except for force, the government's purpose is only to protect those rights. Mm-hmm. The government does not grant them.
Alex, I want to add on to what you're saying. If you look at it, God created us all equal, no matter what. You know, we can argue about, you know, what's racism and you know what, you know, what's the definition of it, and also, you know, and it's you're always going to have racism, but if you truly just look at what's it mean to be living on this earth, you know, what's your purpose in life, and I think everyone's purpose in life is to not only live a good life and be a, you know, contribute and be a productive member of society, but at the same time accept everyone for who they are. And I think that, you know, when it comes to the Constitution, you know, you can tweak it any way you want, but at the same time, you have to also have to look at it from when it was first written. Rights are for everyone, no matter what. And I feel like that's, and I think we're very lucky in this country. Now, I'm just trying to be the peace, making the peace here.
Well, now I'll say it. We'll do. I mean, you. I understand you're bringing your view. It's not making peace.
I want to be. Yeah. I want to be the peacemaker here and just make everybody happy. But
in no, really, not, but, that's not going to work.
I still think. You guys are nuts.
We've been alive a little bit longer than you right now, dog.
I'm not a peacemaker here, but also in other countries, if you look at it, I think we're lucky here. Honestly, I think we have a lot of problems. We do. We have a ton of problems. But if you look at how well we are compared to other countries, I mean, I'm proud to live here.
440, you're in there.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting this morning. But the one main thing that I'm hearing is that. The couple of the callers that you have on there, it seems like they want white people to embrace everything that the black people do. But they don't want to embrace a doggone, wait a minute, they don't want to embrace anything that's white. And I mean, you know, most of the blame is laid at our feet. And, you know, the conspiracy theory of, you know, we're trying to deny you any of your rights. You know, a lot of that, it's got to be the government. I mean, the everyday man don't even think about that. I mean, you guys, like, think
that's,
that...
That's not true.
It's a big don't, it's a big
don't
club
think that's
out here
true,
that we're...
Oh,
don't boy.
Don't think that's true. You don't live it, my friend, and this is what I need to tell you. Now, I'm not concerned like some people are, okay? But no, don't say that, because it's not the truth. It's a freaking lie. It is a lie. And the thing is it is absolutely true that there are some white people who wake up every single day thinking that they want to make sure they keep me as a somebody that tans darker than a paper bag in my place is what they feel. You have to understand that. You say no because it's not you. But don't think it's not there because you're saying.
No, I know that the people around me.
So what? I mean, some people around you don't feel that way. So the people
around
you. Listen, you go into any little. You go into any little manufacturing place down here in our area, up in your area, and I'll guarantee you, you will not see one single black person working there. Why?
Right.
Because they're not even going to consider it.
And see, Jeff, let's keep the argument centralized on economics. Leave the argument off of social. Leave the argument off of emotional and love, because we really don't. You know, I don't want you to embrace me. All I want is to be able to have the opportunities to better the economic standing of my family and my people in this country. And what Jeff said is absolutely right. We had an incident here with what was called the Mississippi River Bridge, where you had blacks that was qualified, that was trained, and guess what? Was drug tested. And the company that was in charge of that operation, even the state, we had to threaten to shut down the highway to get some responses. That's the kind of stuff that we talk. They didn't want to hire black folks for these projects. They wanted to bring whites from all in Kentucky, all up in Chicago area,
hold on,
so on and so on and so on.
Let 440 answer. Go ahead. 440.
Everyone is drug tested. Everyone that I know of, I've been.
No,
drug
no,
tested.
No, no. Oh,
I mean,
God. You missed it. You totally missed it.
No, I mean, you just made a point. Like, you're the only ones that are drug tested. Come on.
I said they were drug tested. Listen, did you hear what I said?
You missed it.
If they use an excuse and said that these people on drugs No, these workers was trained, they was highly qualified, and they had been drug tested. They even took one man that they hired, and they drug tested him 25 times in a 30-day period.
Now, see, this is what you don't know. I'm a contractor, okay? And so many years ago, I got my MBE, Minority Business Enterprise certification, and I went out after a particular project on a jail to supply the phone systems and et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess what? They did everything that they could to make sure I did not get that contract, including creating a dummy company that was a majority white person contract, because these things are set aside in the state of Ohio. Now, up under Mr. Our last governor, Shaky, what's his name, Strickland, you had supposed to be 20%.
Jeff, let me in when you get finished, Jeff.
Alabama. 20% set asides for minority contracts in the state. He did 2.5% with black business, the Democrat governor Strickland, and then this governor, he's going to be labeled the racist, but he's done like 17% up to right now, and he'll be past the 20% by December. But the thing is. They will not let you in. You have to believe. You have to understand that. We're not saying this just for the hell of it. Excuse my mouth. For the heck of it. We're telling you this because this is our experience. Okay? So don't say that. I've been turned down for a contract. I had the better bid on a contract to do a job. I had the better equipment. And guess what happened? I got turned down to do the job. Why? Because I was black. No other reason.
When I worked in electrical engineering, that was the same thing. It was just constantly. You know, I mean, I had people getting passed over by people that I trained.
Absolutely. Jeff. Go ahead, 441 in Alabama.
Yeah, let 440 try to explain why is the disparity. What is your opinion, 440, why there's a disparity between black unemployment, black, and all that, and white people.
Right now, because of how you vote, you deserve it. Okay, because of how you
I want a 440, Jeff. I want a 440 because he's never thinking about.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. 440, go ahead.
Can I call you back because I'm on the move?
Absolutely, sir. You know that. Just call back.
I got to call you back because I'm on the move.
We're not prejudiced here.
I want to address that question, though.
Yeah, I'm going to let you, but I got to let Alabama in real quick because he was big. Go ahead, Alabama.
Well, Covina Man actually beat me to the point. I think economically, like Bianchi said, economics is, I would like to know why they have, for every dollar we got, they got 22. And I want to hear somebody say, it's because we're smarter, we work harder. And really just sit. I just want to hear somebody. I've heard that before, but I just want to hear why you got 22. For every dollar a black man got, you got $22. Every child that's born has 87%, if he's white, has 87% of the resources he needs to succeed, and black children are born with zero. So I want to hear how that is even remotely close.
Go ahead, Kavina.
Oh, no, I said me and him on the same page, because my point of asking that is, if he never thinks about race, then I would want to see why, what's his explanation, and I guarantee you it was going to be some race.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt about it, because that's the culture of the nation, Kavina, man. There's no doubt about it. Nobody's trying to say nobody's prejudice here. There's no racism. There's no institutional racism. We know that exists. We're not denying that. But my problem, usually with you and other people that want to continue to justify voting how you vote and keeping yourselves in bondage, you blame it on the guys on the other side. And it's not their fault. It's your own fault for not making the people you put in power deal with you. You make goofy decisions.
Jeff, let me one thing I think also you have to look at is just trace the history of why. When you say why are we where we are with black people, you just have to go back. Just go back and look and document, and you'll see clearly through sundown towns and different things that actions have been taken on a massive scale, way more than I even knew, to withhold wealth. Racism, I said this racism one thing. Racism is about money. It's not
about
black.
But you're
breaking up.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up, Alabama. I don't know what you're doing.
Alabama, I believe you got an Obama phone.
Because it's crappy.
No, but what
I'm out here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, man. It's Tuscaloosa.
Oh. Now you sound good.
I want to chime in, though, on that question. Why
yeah,
is that,
go ahead, Alex.
For every dollar that black men have, I guess white men have 20, which is fairly accurate according to, I think it was some study done a few years ago based on savings and net worth of different American families, black versus white. And so, you know, the thing is that we don't want to work for anything anymore. We want everything overnight nowadays. And what we don't realize is that, we have to take ownership for what has happened in the past, and take responsibility for what needs to happen going forward. Because what you see, the benefits that you see other people have in society, they didn't get it overnight either. Mm-hmm. However, some of the privileges that they have are built upon the work of people that came before them. And it's the same thing for us. I sincerely believe that the civil rights era pretty much derailed progress for African Americans.
Yes, it did.
And I think that we really acknowledge or that has really been analyzed well enough about how much that has broken down the family structure and the community structure, where it completely debased our community. We had no more foundation to build on, which is why ever since then every generation has started from ground zero. And so that's
hey,
the,
Alex,
and
can
so
I ask you a question?
Yes.
When you get done, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, that's essentially my point. We need to take ownership of what happened in the 60s and in the 70s and people like, you know, I think Jeff calls him Al Charlatan and other people like that. We have to take ownership of that and don't be ashamed of it. Just say this is what happened. We have to learn from it because other people have been similarly dejected, like Irish people, gay people, Jewish people, a lot of Asians, especially Japanese, Chinese, have been similarly dejected. But the thing is that when you are dejected and you're forced to rely on yourself, you build your own infrastructures, which we had in the 40s and 50s.
Absolutely
we
right.
Had our own, we had our own banks in the 40s and 50s.
And let me get
Alex
to the
answer
here.
Alex, what's your profession? You're an engineer, aren't you?
I am. I'm a product designer.
Let me ask you a question.
I make military
because
weapons.
You know.
And, but now I make
I understand.
Weapons.
Alex, now here's the point that I get at. You, mm-hmm. with your engineering education, you still don't get paid the same thing equal as a white person with the same amount of education.
Nope.
And that is typical. That is typical in this country. And this is why I come up with my point of logic. If we want to become equal and even close that gap, then we have to start doing these things ourselves. We have to have
Absolutely.
Our own major businesses where you hire your own people. Because as Jeff just mentioned, he's pointed out a business that doesn't have no blacks in it. So if you got 1,000 businesses that hire, and they come up with these quotas, blacks have just merely been paced since the civil rights era. It's a pacing. Whites got out so far ahead, and now they let you come in, and they merely pacing you. You're not gaining, but many times you are falling back behind. The only way that you defeat that is you're going to have to start creating these entities yourself and competing against them.
Okay, let me,
that's
let me,
the
let
way
me,
you defeat white supremacy.
Let me follow that up. Let me follow
what?
That up. Let me follow
go
that
ahead,
up.
Karina, man.
Yeah, real quick. So Alex is one of the chief examples of what he has just said of what I had called earlier the affected mindset of what white supremacy has done to black folks. What he has just said was black folks was put upon with all this white supremacy for so long, but the minute they stopped with the white supremacy, according to them, a minute that they stopped, all of a sudden now it's your fault that you don't get hired at the lower. Now all of a sudden, all this crime and all the poverty, that was your fault. How in the heck is it my fault after you had let me get more specific, 400 years of white supremacy, and all of a sudden, over the last 40-something years, now all of a sudden it's my fault that there is racism and racial disparity. That's a bunch of bull.
Well, I can answer that, too, convenient.
Yeah, let me jump in on that one. Now, here's the thing. Now, I don't think you ever listened to me on this one because when you call me Uncle Ruckuses and stuff, I keep telling you that I understand the state of black people in America, and it is not necessarily our fault now because of what has happened to us. Every time we raised our head up and became independent, it got beat back down. Don't forget, we had senators and representatives right after slavery of people that did great work in the legislature of the United States of America. Okay, we had those people. We had people that were philosophically talking about different things and pushing this country forward. And then what happened? You had the very low-level, low-minded Caucasian people start the Jim Crow and the black codes. And so when you had that happen, you have to do something with that. It beat us back down. I told you they took my relative's 100 acres of swampland that he drained and turned into prime growing land, farmland. And guess what? They took it saying, well, your grandfather didn't own land, so you're not allowed to own land. Now, in South Carolina. So I'm not what you call an Uncle Ruckus. I'm well aware. My relatives, because of what they said about guns, okay, my relatives were able to carry guns in South Carolina, and then when they came to run them out of town, they were able to defend themselves, and they did.
Why does it? I'm so confused about why it matters so much when you're just talking about, whites getting the jobs over blacks and stuff like that. I don't understand why it matters so much even today. What is it because of the racism? Why?
What do you mean?
I'm gonna tell you why, and this is kind of almost pointed at Kavina Man. That it comes back to what I was saying earlier. We have to take ownership of what happened before and the work that needs to be done. We have to be able to build. We have to get in our mind that we want to build an infrastructure instead of depending on someone to give it to us. And so that's the key difference right there. What you have is you have because of the racism that we've experienced historically, we think that we're owed something.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying, you know what, let's learn from our mistakes in the past and let's do something.
Move forward
and be responsible for our own future.
Yeah.
But we don't want that, and that's the problem. We have too many black people that want to have the government give them something or they think that they're owed something from greater society when – whether or not that may be true from some kind of moral high ground or something, perhaps, I don't know, but you can't expect it. You're just going to wait. I mean, we can't wait around for that. You have to take control of your own destiny.
Could I say something? The point is, and here's the point: whites are never going to give your children the necessary things where they can compete against their children. They are never going to do that. You have to put those things in place your own self. That's what I think Jeff was alluding to, or either Alex. I forget which one. No,
Jeff,
we're
both in agreement on that.
No, to answer your question, Covina, man, it's why we blame. The reason why is because we continue to engage ourselves in things, whether it's education or whatever, that continues to put us in this servitude position. We cannot continue to have all our children concentrated in these public schools. Because look who controlled the public schools, and better yet, look at the results, the track record. Would you agree to that track record? Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's precisely why you always have the left saying, no school choice, because they don't want you independent. The left is doing that, not the right. And I'm sorry. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm not telling you that the right is right, okay, on everything. I'm telling you that the ones that are detrimental to you are the ones that you are supporting. Go ahead.
NAACP.
Also, when two parties come together and one party has no resources, nothing to bring to the table, which is, and you're trying to do a negotiation, usually the one with no resources is going to lose. Government is negotiation. Black people have no resources. So that's why it fails. They got a few crumbs here and there, but they're not gonna really empower you. So I agree with Alex. I think that you should focus on gaining your own power, wealth, and influence, and that starts by having your own economic base, your own economic system. Then come back and come in government. Then you can start. You'll start to really see some change, some things move
because
forward.
Because you got leverage then.
Exactly. Well, that's what happened with the Japanese in the 80s. The Japanese had the strongest economy. That's why they got internment camps, reparations. You can't come right. begging for reparations and you don't own nothing.
Okay, let me just add in here real quick. I'm trying to cook breakfast and listen to the same time. Let me just add real quick that what you're saying is all you guys are acknowledging that the existence of white supremacy is going to keep black folks from reaching equality with white folks. That you're saying that what black folks have to do is, which I'm not disagreeing with, I'm just making sure we're all on the same page, that black folks would have to go around white supremacy, say, okay, white supremacy is there, it's doing what it's doing to keep us down, we got to go around it and do
no,
our own
you don't
thing.
Go around it, you compete against
it. Well,
that's
it what
heads
the Jews
up.
Did.
I'm just saying.
That's
I'm just,
what the Jews did.
Whoa,
whoa,
whoa.
Whoa,
whoa. Just making sure we're all on the same.
Yeah, hold on, Pianki, go ahead.
No, you don't go around it. You compete against it heads. That's what I've done here in St. Louis. You compete against it heads up. You don't go around it, and they can't be defeated. They're being defeated every place. They're being defeated because of animosity. They're being defeated in Africa because of 500 years of no-show. Now China's there showing, so blacks in Africa are saying, hell, you white man, we going with the Chinese. So that's where you do it.
So we're on the same page. Hold on, real quick. We're on the same page. Then why do you have a problem when I call it out and say we have to go against white supremacy? You guys
because,
like to make
wait a minute. Wait,
we like
on,
to aggravate
let me answer
you.
That. Hold on. Let me no. You know, we appreciate you, though, Covina, man, but this is why. Because when we tell you, I agree with a point, but you keep pushing it over on some people that it's not their fault. And you're supporting the people that do it to you, and then you're thinking you're doing something to get yourself out. You look goofy. And that's what I respond to, because I'm saying, how the heck are you going to get out the water when somebody's throwing you a anchor as a life preserver? Every time you try to get out of something, you're caught because the welfare system catches your poor that 70% of you are born into.
Whoa, that's not a true fact. That's not a fact.
70%
of
you are born into poverty in this in the United States at this particular time. Okay, now, Brown, you don't jump in. You say you want to talk, and I'll get you in. I don't have a problem, but if you want to dispute my fact, then go give me the statistic of what it is. Is it 50 only percent? Okay. Is it 50%?
No, no, no. You don't even know what you're talking about. The figure
okay,
I took the
Brown,
for.
Brown,
let me give
come
you the
on,
figure.
Let me
give
me
the figure,
bring me
Jeff.
Something. Well, Stinks, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great. Doing
70%
okay.
of black of bad births are born to a woman who is not married. That does not mean you're born into poverty.
I did not tell you. Then what is the poverty rate of the black community?
Yeah, what is poverty with single women? And here in this city, they poor.
Well, that's in your
city. Well, yeah, absolutely.
I grew up around rich black people.
I didn't.
I mean,
yeah,
yeah,
that's because
that
you guys.
Show.
Yeah, that's why your guys' experience is so limited compared to mine.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Why you say. That's why you say things that make no sense.
Look, Brown, I'll put my experience
town,
up against yours any day.
The country.
All right.
And you're making up.
That's enough.
Yeah, you cannot do that, Brown. Once again, Brown, before I was 15 years old, I had traveled over 80% of this part of the United States, the 50 contiguous. I learned a lot in different areas. Be quiet. Don't start this craziness. Okay, and and I appreciate your intellect, but you cannot curse on the air because we are on terrestrial radio, and that's an FCC violation. I apologize to the FCC because we did not mean for that to happen. Let's go.
We do not have a delay. We do not have a button.
Right.
We need one.
Yeah.
Can I go back to just about the combating white supremacy whole thing? I just want to say that as a conservative libertarian, it does not matter to me. I don't care. The only thing that matters is that each of us, all of our rights, our natural rights as human beings are respected, then it doesn't, I don't have to compete with it. As long as I have the right, the God-given right to pursue happiness and my rights are not violated, as long as the
right.
government protects my rights of my property, my ability to make money for myself and associate however I want, it does not matter. Why do you care?
Well, Alex, Thomas Sowell's written a lot about the economics of Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know as well as I do, you don't have to make a law to make somebody do something they want to do anyways.
Exactly.
And what was happening is you had governments, you had merchants that were making a lot of money operating businesses that were not segregated.
Mm-hmm.
And you had businessmen that were operating segregated businesses that were getting their butts kicked.
Yep.
And they got the government to make laws to stop the people from trading with whoever they felt like. It was government that created the Jim Crow laws that removed your natural rights from you.
Mm-hmm.
It was government that did that because, as you said earlier, government is force.
Yep, absolutely.
And I don't understand why that concept is so hard for so many people to understand.
I understand to some degree for African Americans because some of them feel like they need the government to
get by.
They felt like at some period they needed the government to force other people to force greater society.
Be truthful with you, they did. Alex, they
had
to turn to the federal government. Now don't shed that out. Now they did have to turn to the federal government.
Absolutely, but even in doing so, what we found is that it's come to our detriment because we put so much dependence on the federal government. Now we don't know how to do much of anything for ourselves anymore. And everyone, and this is the main reason why the rest in every indicator in this country, education, economical wise, socioeconomic, black people are being passed up because a few generations ago they accepted this philosophy of dependence on the federal government instead of doing for themselves when everyone else was like, to hell with that.
And we're going to take a break right now. We are behind. We got to take this break. We'll be right back. And Kavina Man, you'll be up as soon as we get back. Mornings with Tracy and Friends, Jeff Sticks, Alex, Aaron in the air chairs here. We are all these men here. I don't know what to do. We got to go on today.
Anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I thought everybody done hung up. You was on a break, everybody going at each other.
Yeah, I wanted to aggravate Covina Man some more.
I think we all see white supremacy. I just think it's how you operate. And I think the best answer is, like you said, gaining your own power, wealth, and influence. You can't combat white supremacy with trying to go to white supremacy asking
that's
for mercy.
That's what I tell people who talk about reparation. I say, the only way you're going to get reparation from this government, I mean, that's where you're getting it from, the government. You have to have leverage. Al-Qaeda have a better chance of getting their reparations than you do, and they are getting reparations. That's why come you have what's going on today. You cannot be going to a power begging. Because they already...
Respects power, man. That's it. Power respects power. When it sees weakness, it pounces on weakness. The more you going to pounce. It's like an animal in the wild bite a gazelle. A cheetah bite a gazelle, and because the gazelle screaming, the cheetah lets it go. That's not what's going to happen.
Right, and the problem is, as far as education is concerned, you look at all these school choice charter schools being closed. Black people, we all need to be pissed off about that. I'm sorry about the language there. But.
Well, you know you're right, but here's another point. Charter schools was meant for if the ones here on this program wanted to start a school on some Pacific, then you have the right to do so. Blacks are not even taking advantage of that. They're still letting other white entities come in and take control of their children.
But that's what Umar Johnson's doing right now. He's starting a school right now. He's starting his own Frederick Douglass, Marcus Garvey
and it has to have economic components to it. Yes, I have seen black schools, all black schools, whose academics was completely off the charts. Whites could not compete with them. But they did not have those economic components. Because once you educate those children economically sound, guess who they're going to go to work for?
When they closed them schools in New York, they should have.
You're back on WSOM 600 AM on the radio dial, WSOM 600 AM on your iHeart radio dial, and at Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. And we're here talking to you about what's on our mind, and want to hear what's on your mind as well. So call in and voice your view.
I think my new name on here, Jeff, has to be the Peacemaker now.
The Peacemaker, so, yeah.
I just want everyone to be happy
here. Yeah, yeah. No, we're going to call you Rodney King. Can't we all get along?
Can't we all just get along?
It's not going to work, Alex, Aaron.
There's only one Peacemaker, and it's called Smith & Wesson.
Smith! And thank you.
No,
thank
it's
you
called
to
the
Coke,
brother.
You know, I know this is going to make Covina Man cringe, and we're going to bring you up in a minute. But thank you to the what's the rightful people name? I can't think what I'm talking about. The NRA for making right to carry laws for African American people to protect themselves in the South against the Klan and former slave owners. That's what that was for. And I don't care what switched in the 60s when you started getting some people that were trying to be more, criminal with it. It doesn't matter. Originally, that's what the intent was, and they got it done, and I'm glad. I'd rather have the right to own a Uzi, own a Kalashnikov, own whatever I want to own to protect myself, okay?
People don't realize, Jeff.
Explain to me, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jeff,
prior to 1968, any child could walk into any gun store and buy any long gun of any type that they wanted, other than a fully automatic weapon.
Right.
We did not have any of this violence problem up until around 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a gun problem. It's a soul problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who just got finished being president right up to 1979?
Hey, Jeff. You go back to the 1920s. You know how many drive-by shootings they had back then during Prohibition? I mean, gun violence.
Oh,
was
forever. That's why they put running boards on cars.
And the reason why
you can't tell
you had all that
history,
the reason you had all those the reason you had all that violence in those 20s is because Prohibition violates people's natural rights. And all these laws, if you really take a real constitutional analysis of these laws that we have and the violence in this country, most of it, I would say at least 90 to 95% of it is stoked, agitated, or caused by laws that violate man's natural rights.
I agree.
Because what if someone wants to drink a little bit of bourbon after work or on the weekends? So what? I enjoy whiskey. I mean,
the problem with that
when you get on the whiskey.
The problem with that is when you make a law, and when prohibition was over, you can drink, but the problem is people abuse laws, and then that's why. And I'm not saying prohibition was right.
They didn't abuse laws; they abused rights.
Right, they abuse rights. That's perfect. And then I think that, that's why we have rules in school. I think people abuse that kind of stuff.
It's not my place to stop you from abusing your body.
Yeah.
If you want to kill yourself,
right.
Go right ahead and do
yeah.
it. It's not my problem.
Right. I'm not against.
But you know where laws are good, though.
I'm too young to drink, but you know what I mean.
Where laws are good, and I think that everyone here would agree, is when it comes down to the innocence of a child. You have to protect that innocence until that child becomes grown enough to protect their own.
Of course. Of course.
Hey, you guys. Yeah, hold on. I want to give this thing. I wish that Brown was still on there so that he could listen to this. I was wrong at 70% of black children being in poverty.
It's 35%.
It's 80%.
It was 80%.
80% are in poverty with one parent households. Almost 85% of all black children in poverty live in single parent mother child homes.
Absolutely. The quickest way in the United States not to be in poverty is to finish high school and not get pregnant out of wedlock
and get married.
Yeah.
Because marriage is a good business.
Yeah.
Good business to have. Well, not now. No.
Business partner.
Yeah.
It's getting hard to live on your
go
own.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Kavita, man.
I was going to say before you guys went on the break, the last break. I was going to say because I guess Sticks and Alex were talking about government, and Sticks was talking about how government came in and did this and did that and made things worse. And if the government, I'm going to go back to my toolbox, government has been a tool. Government changes over time. Government has changed, as we had mentioned earlier, President Ferguson, we had 14th Amendment, we had Brown v. versus Board of Education. Government changes over time. Not only does it change over time, it changed in our lifetime. Not only in our lifetime, it changed since your program has been on the air. We started off with don't ask, don't tell, and then now we got gay marriage. We started off with campaigns.
Is that a good thing?
Well, no, I'm just saying. Well, we started off with campaign limits. Now we got Citizens United. So things change. Government changes. And one day, government could be your friend. The next day, government could be your enemy. A government can do that changes. That's how we live in, or why we live in a democratic republic, because we have our I'm gonna close with this. That's why Alex and Stig and they're getting it and they're becoming the minority permanently, because the majority of people who can vote don't agree with you.
Let me do this. You know, they don't agree with us. You know why? Because they have been brainwashed to think that they need that government. They don't need the government like that. You don't need that control over your life. You need to be able to access systems, capital, and the ability to make a living for yourself, the freedom to make a living. When you hinder that, like right now, you can't start a business right now and really think that you're going to have a good chance of making it. Where are you going to get that at?
When you give all your power to the government.
Go ahead, Eric.
The reason why. I'm sorry.
When you give all your power to the government can't help but just take more. It's just natural for them.
You're absolutely right. And the reason why Citizens United exists, because some crazy judge said that corporations were people.
Well, that was the whole thing of doing a corporation a long time ago.
Corporations have always been looked at as persons.
As a person, right.
Ever,
throughout the history of the nation. That's why a corporation is created, so you can, so it can live past whoever created it.
267, you're in there.
Yeah, like you had said before, I think some of your callers have said the only thing that's going to help African Americans, you have to build an economic infrastructure inside of your neighborhoods, and you have to stop to allow the immigrants from taking over the small businesses in your neighborhood. And you, and that's the only way you want to get any kind of full employment of African Americans. You can't rely upon the white power structure to do everything for you. And that's the problem, is we African Americans have been suffering from this plantation mentality for so long, they haven't been able to break out of it because they don't have that sense of an intact culture as other groups of immigrants do. And so they're going to have to get their leaders to form some type of economic roundtable and have some type of think tank to be developed so that they're able to get those same types of cultural patterns that you see in that you currently see like in other types of immigrant groups, that you see in other immigrant groups. You don't see that in African Americans. And that's the only way they're going to be able to break out of this problem they have with employment and they have it, with
I got you. It's been beat out. It's, yeah, commerce, period. It's been beat out of us. So, I mean, that, I understand what you're saying.
And the problem is when the government makes it so hard to fix these problems, I mean, I'm going to take one, for instance. There are tons of warehouses and factories that are just sitting there. But all these regulations, it's almost impossible for an investment, a black investment group to go in and buy it.
Not unless you have a lot of capital or a lot of pool where you can have, you know.
Well, the government assistance programs are designed to keep you out anyways.
Precisely.
One of the things, being in the real estate business, there was a HUD program where for low-income or for rental units, it was a 3% interest rate, 30 years, no personal guarantee. Minimum loan was $1 million, but every building had to be newer than 5 years old. There aren't a whole lot of people that aren't already wealthy that can play in that pool. It was designed by rich people to help rich people.
Yep.
If they truly wanted to help people get a hand up, it would have been those terms, and as long as the buildings met code, write the loan.
And Covina, man, yeah. let me say this. I had a lot of friends. I had a friend of mine that lived in Washington D.C. that back in 1981, 1982 was worth about $12 million just by selling cars and whatever else he could sell. He did all kind of things. It is very possible. He played the game. He played politics, and he played the game. Democrat. Okay, there's no problem with being the Democrat. It's just the being stupid thinking that they're going to work for you.
Hey, Jeff, I heard a neat stat the other day.
Uh-huh.
The cities in the United States with the largest income inequality.
Yeah.
Are the bluest cities.
Absolutely. Who didn't know that one?
What happens in the Democratic Party is they only cater to the elite.
Philly, Covina Man got to go. Covina Man, try to hold on through the break, because I got to go. This is top of the hour break. We'll be right back. Mornings with Tracy and Friends.
Listen to
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Philadelphia.
I was saying that in the Democratic system only recognizes the elites that are in the urban area. So if
they
you
hustle
are,
the poor, especially blacks. You're absolutely right.
So therefore, if you are an elite business person, then you have the connections in politics and in labor and in other types of apparatus inside the city where the average person doesn't have access to that. And most African Americans work in the public sector. They don't work in the private sector. So therefore, the reason why they're reliant on the Democratic Party, because they want to make sure they get those subsidies from the government to help pay to help pay their bills, and they want to make sure they're able to get the job with the police department. And
that's what the Democrats gave black folks for their loyalty.
And so forth.
That's what Democrats gave blacks for their loyalty. They gave them post office jobs.
Post
you mentioned earlier
jobs.
About jobs in the government, especially out in Maryland on the East Coast.
Right.
And it's the rich corporation, and they play both sides. I mean, just look at Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling was giving money to who? The NAACP.
Right.
You have – check this out. NAACP is against – school choice. Why? Because teachers, especially black teachers, are members of the NAACP.
Right.
So this is a vicious circle.
And
it's
then
very
also
complicated.
With teachers, you know, it's possible you can get into the teaching profession and be a person who's not motivated, who doesn't really want to do anything with their life if you get placed into a neighborhood school. You know, so... That turns out to almost be like a patronage job as well, being a teacher. It's almost
Look who you're going to be surrounded with when you're in that atmosphere. I've seen that happen, you know, tons of times before.
Right.
So it's just the only way that I see, I mean, you have to take it one at a time. You just can't throw a blanket solution over all these multiplicities of problems. It has to be looked at individually, but the ultimate outcome is that you got to create stuff for yourself and stop depending on everybody else.
Well, see, that's difficult for African Americans to do because they don't have that self-identity as a cultural group as the East Indians and the Chinese and some of the Africans do when they come into this country. That's the reason why they don't do well. Because they do have that state of dependency upon the power structure to do a lot for them. And the only way you can break that is you have to get people who are the religious leaders, the cultural leaders, to come together to form some type of coalition to say we have a cultural problem among African-American people in this country, and we need to address this, and we need to build some type of infrastructure in terms of small business in our neighborhoods and where we live to help to address these problems, because we're getting to the point now where we don't have public education and we're not going to have any type of meaningful employment in the future if we don't address this.
They're not going to do that. Look at Georgia, for instance. Governor Deal just signed a gun rights law that the black preachers are complaining against. And at the same time, in Georgia, right in Atlanta, they built a multi-story high school that has a gun range in it for the students.
Yeah. Well, see, it's getting to a point now where in the city is developing two different types of economies. And if you live in an urban district, the police can protect you, but if you're a store owner, it's best for you to have some type of weapon in your store because a lot of people are going in stores, they're robbing them almost every other day, banks are getting robbed, and it's because you have so many people who don't have employment, and they're about to be thrown into the street. And they're going to do everything they can to keep a roof over their head and to keep food on the table. And so you really have a desperate situation going on out here, and the number of robberies is definitely going up. People are getting mugged. They're snatching the pocketbooks of women. Like almost on a regular basis. So we definitely have the economy is moving in almost two different directions now. It's like a train on two different tracks. And we're starting to really build a system of an underclass in the country now. People who are going to be locked out in the future, and by raising different things, like in terms of the minimum wage, that's not going to address the skills gap, because you can have somebody making $15 an hour working at McDonald's, but how much, how long is that person going to be able to stay in that job? But those jobs are meant to be temporary jobs where you use that to get to something else. But if you are raising the wages there, you're not really helping that person to grow where they can build their skills to do something else.
Yeah, they're not going to want to do anything else. They don't want to flip burgers for the rest of their life.
Yeah, so therefore, you know, and then eventually, if you know, if the operating costs become too high, they're either going to have to raise the price of sandwiches or they're going to have to cut back on workers. Because, and especially if you talk about mom-and-pop operations, a mom-and-pop operation couldn't afford to pay someone $15 an hour to do a particular job because they would end up going out of business. Because if they're paying the wage of $15 an hour, if you include the other things they have to pay, they're really paying that person like almost upwards of like $25 to $30 an hour.
What's going to happen in Philadelphia is that eventually, I'm going to say about five, if they raise the minimum wage federally to $15 an hour, a lot of these fast food companies are going to have automated systems.
I hope that they're all wrong, as a matter of fact. Let us pray the midterm vote can take it back. It's whack. Because crappy pop along, if your health care premium is through the roof. Pop along, if you know that Obamacare ain't the truth. Pop along, if you know that the president lied to you. Pop along, if you stop and it ain't what you wanna do. Network news lies saying this or that. Matter of fact,
yeah.
If you're dirt poor, then it's good for you. But if you have to go to work, then you're getting screwed. How rude. Because clap along if your health care premium is through the roof. Clap along if you know that Obamacare ain't the truth. Get me down, that Obamacare. Bring me down, that Obamacare. Bring me down, that Obamacare. It brings me down, that Obamacare. It brings me down, that Obamacare. Bring me down, cause the cost is too high. Bring me down, that Obamacare. Bring me down, because I'm not alone. If your health care premium is through the roof.
Tracy and Friends on WSOM 600 AM, the brand new hit released nationwide. Nationwide released today. It's crappy. It's crappy. Yeah. It's not affordable either. I don't know. But if you listen to the words of the song, you can find out what the truth is. Good morning. This is Jeff in the Air Chair. Sticks, Aaron, and Alex. Our caller, Barry Wright, caller from down south of the United States, almost close to south of the border, you know. Señor, he's por favor. He's down there in Houston, Texas. So he is doing his thing here, visiting his family, and we are happy, so happy to have him here today. How y'all doing out there? Kavina, man, I promise you, I'm getting you on right now. The number here is 1-347-945-5229 and 330-781-9600.
Okay, Covina, man, you wanted to say something. I know you got to go to work here pretty soon. So go ahead and get yours in.
Okay. Okay, cool. You can hear me, right?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, I wanted to say that this goes up to you, you know, everybody there, you know, Bianchi and Alabama especially. But what you guys are proposing, and what I have to fundamentally reject, but what you guys are proposing is that then black folks and white folks cannot play by the same rules. Like, for instance, you know, Jackie Robinson playing baseball, your idea that it's the rules have to be stacked against black folks, and you got to accept it. As Alex has said, he doesn't really care. You accept that the rules are stacked, and so the proposal is, since the rules are stacked, according to Bianchi and Alabama, black folks have to go out and start their own league. They have to go out and play their own league. They can't. Black folks and white folks can't play together. They can't have competitions together. They have to go out and have their own separate league. Hispanic people, Asian people, same. Everybody, they can't compete. They can't play by the same rules. And they have to start their own league. Having said that, we're going to transfer that globally. And we have people who around the world who says, okay, we're going to play by our own rules. We're going to have our own league. Those leagues are called nations. And somebody in Chimera have their own league, their own nation, and Russia wants to invade them. Another group has their own league, Iraq, and America wants to invade them. Another group, Palestinians, they have their own league. South Africans have their own league. Australians have their own league. Native Americans have their own league. Somebody wants to come in because they see the resources of Chimera or United States or Australia, and they want to take it because they don't want to play by their own. They play by one set of rules. Certain people, and the other people trying to play by, I'm just going to do my own thing. We live in a world, if everybody going to play by their own different rules and can't play together, we're going to have a rule where everybody is invading everybody else because they want to take their land, resources, and wealth. That's what you're proposing. Hold on, that's what you're proposing that we do here in the United States.
Let me
just finish. Let me wrap it up. Since you guys can't play by the same rules, we can't play by the same rules. White folks, black folks, they can't accept that we can have equality or we can't have justice. That we just said we go forget it. We just gonna go out and do our own thing. And that's the way America's gonna be. Just a bunch of people doing their own thing. Welcome to the United States of nothing.
Hey, have you ever heard the statement A students work for C students and B students work for the government? Have you ever heard that statement? Because that's what I think Bianchi and Alex are trying to say. The majority of self-made millionaires in the United States are C students, and the reason they're millionaires and they're more successful than their quote-unquote more intelligent counterparts is because they realize that the system is set up against them.
That's not what
A students are who A students are always who gets the best job offers. I'll let Alex come in after I'm done. He can say
Aaron said he was.
So anyways,
what you're saying about Jackie Robinson, I'm a big baseball fan. I play, listen, watch baseball, and I'm not sure how accurate the movie 42 was, but after I'd seen that movie, I studied up a lot on Jackie Robinson. And the one thing I loved the most about when Jackie Robinson started playing baseball is if you look at the coach in that movie, 42, have you ever seen it?
No, just –
I love what he tells the players. They start this petition that they don't want Jackie on the team, and he shows them that petition and says, you can wipe your butt with this petition because Jackie is coming and he is coming to play because he had the talent. It didn't matter his skin color. It didn't matter anything about him but that he could play baseball. And he said, the coach in that movie said, get ready because they're all coming because there's going to be not just Jackie. There's going to be a whole new thinking when it comes to baseball. And he came and Jackie was awesome. And now you have all types of races playing baseball and any sport as well. And that's why when I said earlier, why can't we all just get along, you know, keeping the peace? Because it doesn't matter, you know, what you look like. If you have the skill and you have the talent, why can't you play? Or any business, what you were saying. You were saying, Jeff, that you didn't get the job for something because of your color. And in my opinion, if you have the skills, you have the talent, who cares what you look like? If you're right for the job, you're getting the job.
People that didn't hire me care.
Yeah, there are some people that will go against their economic interests.
Yep.
Because of their prejudices. That exists.
Or their biased thinking.
Covina, man, let me say something to you because, like I said, I know you probably got to get ready to go unless you're going to hang out all day. What we're saying is those things exist, and you're not going to stop them from existing. I don't care how many government programs you get. I don't care how many laws you get out there. You're not going to change somebody's heart. And if you don't change somebody's heart, they're not going to change what they think about you. What you have to do, hold on, I'm going to let you right in, whoever that was.
Yeah.
What you have to do is you must separate yourself from thinking that somebody is there to help you and start getting together with like-minded people and help yourself, because the rules are there. They can't change the rules on you and have one set of rules for white folks and have one set of rules for black folks. They can't do that anymore. They used to be able to do that, but that was ended. Okay, but now it's a matter of flat-out economics, and we are voting against our own interests. We are working for people against our own interests, and then we look like fools up there picketing McDonald's talking about $15 an hour for a job that you have to put pictures on the doggone keys so that people know what change to give back.
But, Jeff, don't you realize,
hey, Jeff.
People don't realize yet that if they raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour for these fast food workers, within 5 years, those companies are going to figure out ways to get robotic, machinery in there to do all that stuff for them.
They're cutting hours immediately. Watch Seattle. Watch Seattle. Those idiots made that move. You watch what happens up there.
If anybody
30
knows
hour,
how a factory works, if
right,
anybody
yeah.
knows how the inside of an assembly line
yeah,
works,
Bianca, you
they can
next.
Do that.
Go ahead, Eric, finish.
I mean, if you know how the inside of a factory works, or assembly line works, they can do all that stuff automated.
Go ahead, Bianchi. Your turn.
Jeff, let me. I just thought of something. You remember prepaid legal?
Yep.
You know how they work. All right, let me show you something. When Donald Sterling made the statement that he done to tarnish his image, you had the black supremacists come out and try to help him. Now, first one is the NAACP, because he give donations to them. They are his prepaid legal. Secondly, you had Al Sharpton running there on the slide so that he could do what? Mr. Sterling, I want to help your image. What kind of award did NAACP give Sterling? The Image Award.
Love it. Precisely my point to Covina Man and others that think like him, that the situation is, here it is, they were all ready to give him this award. They were ready. They were right there. Yeah, okay, we're going to give him this award. Why? Because he gave like $15,000 to the NAACP. $15,000. This man is a cabillionaire.
That's an expensive trophy.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard, but it doesn't matter.
The NAACP compete against? They compete against Rainbow Push. They compete against the Action Network with Jesse Jackson. They compete against the Urban League. Civil rights. Look at the civil rights movement. You had CORE. You had the NAACP. You had Southern Leadership Conference. They all was competing against white folks' money in order to carry their operations on with the NAACP. I mean, with the civil rights movement. It's the same thing. You got white supremacist organizations just like you got black supremacist organizations just like you got the white ones, Kalina, man. They don't mean you no good.
Well, the thing is they're all political subdivisions, and it doesn't matter because they're owned. And whenever you have somebody owned, Eric, you got so much noise going on in the background, man. I got to mute you. I'm sorry.
No, the interesting thing is if you support those black leaders, and I said that in quotes, black leaders and their organizations, you're actually supporting white supremacy.
Precisely. Precisely, because they own
because
them.
It's Jews that run the Urban League and the NAACP. I mean, most of those organizations happen to be controlled by Jewish money. So it would just follow that Sterling would get some type of an award from them because he is Jewish himself.
See, it goes beyond that. The thing is that these people are paid to keep black people in their place. And that is the definition of white supremacy, to keep us in an inferior and dejected and degenerate position. And that's what these groups are paid to do. That's what Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are paid to do.
Keep you in a non-competitive position.
In public schools broadly, and especially inner-city schools, why aren't children taught money management?
Well, they used to be.
That's the first step, because that's the first step out of poverty, is being able to manage your money.
Hey, Jeff,
well,
you know what?
It's just assumed that they're going to get a low-wage job, and they're going to get a government subsidy to help pay their bills. So that's the reason why they're not taught money management.
Hey, Jeff,
you
know what?
If you have a low-wage job, you have to be a better money manager than somebody who's making a lot of money.
Well,
you can still get out of
at the same time, it's assumed
that
they're going to get some type of government subsidy to help fill in the gap of the amount of income that they receive.
Well, the problem is...
Do you find yourself constantly tight?
The problem is the more government has grown, you know, the Department of Education, you know, there's a point when it didn't exist. It used to just be an office inside of the Interior Department, I think it is.
Yeah,
but
wasn't that up under Jimmy Carter?
Yeah, and Carter made it a department. And so, what we found is that the more government has grown, the more that its tentacles have reached into our education system, the dumber our children have gotten.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to, is that because government is it's inefficiency it's the pinnacle of inefficiency. And so the bigger the government gets, the less they can actually teach our kids. And so less information, useful information, is being taught to them. Like, they used to know basic accounting in 7th and 8th grade.
Right.
But now they're not even taught that anymore. They graduate from high school and can't even sign their name.
Can't read a tape measure.
Exactly.
I'm serious. I got a friend that's a human resources guy for a manufacturer here in town. He says, I've got guys coming in here with high school diplomas and college degrees that can't read a tape measure.
Hey, somebody's breathing in their phone. Please hold back from there. Yeah,
We got to get sticks in front of a group of black people and let him say these things and watch the shoes come his way.
Yeah, you have to put me behind bulletproof glass.
Here's the thing. And either he's telling the truth or he's not telling the truth. You know, I'm watching a local thing, you know, pan out here because we have all these people going to jail here. And... you have the mayor is indicted on 85 counts. Who else is a former prosecutor? 85 counts of misconduct and things in office. This is unprecedented. And even that you have here the local party chairman of the Democrat Party that is trying to hold on to his fiefdom here after using tactic after tactic that showed that he was not for the people, but he was for himself and what he could get done through the party, to the denigration of a lot of people that were trying to run for office and move forward. They put black people up against black people all the time. They keep things a certain way, and I'm trying to say, it's not just to bring it political, but to bring it to this point here, you've got to start thinking who you're voting for, who you're supporting, and what are they doing for you when you're still not included in the things where you're making money? Why is it that you find out years later that all the guys that you were sitting up there having committee meetings with, they've made side deals in the society with the drilling people, with the mill people that are coming in? They make all these deals, and you're sitting up there with your hand out saying, will you give me some bread? Uh-uh. Take your bread. Take the bread. You can use the same rules, but you got to quit being scared, afraid, timid. But how are we going to do that if we don't believe that we can do that? And so, anyway, we only got a half hour left. Does anybody want to talk about anything else specifically? Because we can run this around and around, because I am really upset still about this Bergdahl thing. And the we traded five guys for one, and they lied and said the man was about to drop dead because he was so sick, and then you see him and he looks like he's been working out in the gym.
I heard a commentator yesterday saying it looks like we traded five Al Qaeda terrorists for one Al Qaeda terrorist.
Well, I think with the Bergdahl's affair and with the chances of Benghazi coming back and with the Democratic Party losing big in this coming November, I think all of these events are going to lead to the impeachment of Obama starting in January of next year. January or February of next year, they're going to be talking about impeaching the president.
I want to offer a line of thinking. Just a thought experiment here. All right. What if, because see, I find it really coincidental that Hillary Clinton releases, you know, a snippet of her book.
Right. 2 weeks before it's released.
Yeah, before this kind of gets out. And so what if this is the Democratic Party doing what it needs to do to remain in power at the
Absolutely.
Federal level,
yeah.
where Obama falls on his sword, so to speak. So and at the same time, Hillary Clinton, she releases her book, her memoirs, where she's distancing herself from the president,
mm-hmm.
and so that she can run more autonomously, more independently, not associated with the ills of the Obama presidency as she makes her run for president. So. This may just be a, you know, orchestrated plan by the Democratic Party.
But the thing about
or
Hillary,
by the Clintons still, themselves.
The thing about Hillary is she still has blood on her hands from Benghazi. And that's why, you know, we were talking about before, you know, who do we want running in 2016? I want, you know, someone that will say, you know, Ms. Clinton, speak to us about Benghazi, you know, and then
well, you know, that's nice to say, but who's going to let that question be fielded? You know, as far as that's concerned, news media is not going to sit up there and let you kill Hillary Clinton.
Well, no, I mean the person that will run against her.
The person Whoa. That's going to run against her is probably going to be Jeb Bush. They're going to put Jeb Bush up because I don't think the other man. I think there's a question when it comes to the other two candidates who are Hispanic, Cruz, and the other guy who's a senator. About their background in terms of if they're a natural-born citizen or not.
Wait a minute. Local caller, can you talk, or are you going to have to go?
Hey, how you doing there, Jeff?
Come on, Doc. Get it out.
Well, Jeff, I just wanted to say hi to Philadelphia.
Okay, you're going to have to find him someplace else, Steve. We don't do that here.
This isn't chat.
Yeah. Radio costs a whole heck of a lot of money, Steve.
You could very well be right, Alex. You really could.
Yeah, you very. I don't put it past him. And the reason, and when I started looking at something, he actually has somewhat of a constitutional issue with what he did, that he can take the court where he's. Yeah, well, I mean, I've heard several legal minds saying this, that he can argue. That, you know, in carrying out the presidency of the United States, that the Congress shouldn't be able to interfere with him upholding the safety on this, that, and of American people.
Let me ask you this. Has there ever been a situation where the United States government has traded POWs for its own soldiers? And the answer to that is yes, especially against Germany, definitely in Korea and Vietnam.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely a precedent for presidents and even lower level army officials making such trades. I think it just leaves a bad taste in our mouth because we're post 9/11, terrorism, blah, blah, blah. And
it's but the thing. The thing that got me is one. This guy, we're not even sure if this guy was actually a POW. His unit says he's a deserter. Which desertion, in the time of war, is a capital offense.
Yeah.
So if he in fact did walk away in civilian clothes, I might add, from the base, leaving a note. And then phone calling his unit the next day saying, ship my stuff home to my mom and dad.
Right.
Yeah.
That changes everything then.
But at the same time, if you're fighting, which I don't even agree with the war on terrorism, I think it's ludicrous. However, if you have an enemy, the Taliban, and you have an American citizen that's been in the Taliban camps for, was it 5 years?
Right.
You will probably learn more information from this Bergdahl guy than you will ever know. If you bring him home and talk
to
him.
Got a point there.
I hope that that's the case. Local caller, you're in there.
Yeah.
Quickly, Steve.
But what I had to say, Jeff.
You're not allowed to be on the phone, Steve.
Sorry.
You are wrong, Alex. I'm not talking to you, man. I'm not messing around with you. Anyway, mornings with Tracy and friends. We're running up on the end of the day here, but this is very serious. Now, I agree with you that is a possible something. And we don't like what this guy is doing to a lot of the institutions of the United States, but at the same time, he's not real stupid. He's not a stupid person. And I think that this could, if they thought that this was going to be a public relations thing, I think that they really, really blew it and they misjudged the American people here.
Well, I think they thought they could keep the soldiers' mouth shut.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they made them sign a no comment.
Yeah.
Sheet. Mm-hmm. So that is something to think about, you know, that we have to consider. But at the same time, my God, I don't know. The danger that this can put us in, I can't understand because I've been trying to look at it from the point of view. He wants to be Secretary General of the United Nations. Before he can be that, he has to totally destroy the Clintons. Okay. Or somehow guarantee the Clintons the White House.
Who wants to be Secretary General?
President Obama.
He's headed for UN. Okay, and
he said the same thing about Bill Clinton, though.
Yeah.
Well, Bill Clinton submitted his name to be Secretary General of the UN.
I don't think there'll ever be a Secretary General of the United Nations from the United States.
I don't know.
And the reason I say that is the rest of the world already sees us as the world power. They're not going to put an American at the head of the UN.
No.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
In fact, it always seems like it's actually usually some guy from some third world nation.
You think the president would want to actually like stop and not want to be a leader of something after he's done being president? But
no.
Not this president.
No president, really. Because you have to remember, anybody who wants to be president has a huge ego.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a huge ego to think you can run,
manage
something the size of the United States.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing too that I'll say here. If this guy pulled off listening and watching what's going on, you know, inside of a Taliban camp and seeing their ways and everything, and he actually shares that, because they did wipe out 20 insurgents in that area. The day after, they droned them down, like 20 of them. They took them straight out. So I mean, that's a possibility, and I'm hoping that they're that cunning. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they're that cunning. That's why I caution Republicans all the time and say, you guys, please watch it, because you guys get emotional about stuff because you can't take certain things, and then you're sitting up here, you know, making and doing all this vibrato when at the same time you're looking like a fool. Once he comes through and he's done something different than what you thought he did. So where you ought to be putting your attention is Benghazi, number one, Fast and Furious, number two, and the IRS, number three. Those three should be the attention of the Republicans going forward. I'm going to try this one more time. Local caller.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Did you get permission to stay on the phone, Steve?
I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, you left that? Okay, good, because
I was on my other phone, my home phone. So
I realize.
I can't be on that phone because we have important people that call us.
Okay.
Myself, the guy was a deserter.
The deserter.
In other words, the guy left his camp and was amongst the Taliban. Sided with the Muslims, so to speak. I think that, sometimes he could have been brainwashed. But there again, I think that he probably became to be discontent because he realized our government was lying to us. He figured,
What government lied to us, Steve?
Our own government.
What did they lie about?
So he realized, he's in the military. What is he fighting? He's fighting for special interests and big corporations. And then he's wasting his life. He realized that he's taking other people's lives. Didn't do anything to him. That's why he started to fight it.
Then why did he volunteer to join the service?
Because he thought at first he felt that that was a patriotic thing to do, and also the financial and
you don't join the service for financial end, because if you do, you're a fool.
It can't help you to get career wise, so to speak. There are perks that you can get by being in the military. I mean, all the benefits that VAs, that the arms.
I realize that, but the thing is that comes with a price, Steve. You understand that? When I signed on the dotted line, we were just messing around with Iraq because the Shah of Iran was just about to be deposed. And, you had the Ayatollah Khomeini and his group that took the hostages. I was in Germany at that time, and they put a set of guys from my base down there to go into Iran to check on the hostages. And those people were treated like animals. And so I just want you to know, you don't join the service to get things like that. Okay, you join the service, you better full be willing to put your life on the line, because that's what you swear to do. Mm-hmm. You're now a GI, which means a government issue.
Well, I know you're owned by the government. Now, once you're in the military, it's a different type of thing than what they call civilian life. So now you're owned by the military, and you have to do what they say and go by what they say. And, of course, the President of the United States is your commander-in-chief, so you have to go by orders.
Question.
Before I leave, the reason why I wanted to say hi to Philly, because I used to live there as a child, and so, when you...
Live where as a child, Steve?
I used to live in Philadelphia as a child, and so...
Okay, that's fine, but we're not going to hear it. This costs too much money for that, okay?
What's up,
Steve? Thank you, my brother.
I just wanted to say hi to him.
All right, that's all right. He hears you.
Okay. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You know, another reason why I think the government fails to teach civics and just constitutional history and law in schools, and they don't do that anymore, is the military, our military is supposed to protect the Constitution. And so if you ask them to do something unconstitutional and they don't know the Constitution, well, then, you know, there's not going to be the natural consequence that would come if we had an informed electorate and informed public.
I don't know about every other school. My school, I mean, you have to take government as a senior. And our government teacher, he's got, you know, the same views as you. I mean, he refuses to tell us his political view because he wants, you know, to teach. He can't use his, you know, biased opinions. But I still feel like there's some, I don't know about other schools, but I feel like in my school, there's still, you're still getting some history background on government. You're getting some, because you can take, you know, American history, world history, government, Ohio history. I just took this past year, economics. And then we also have classes like general business. That's not taught by our history teacher. But there are still classes out there, in my opinion, that give you a general background on what you need in the world. And that's why I'm taking general business as a senior next year, because I want to get a I want to learn something that I really am going to need in the real world. You know, checks and balances. I took a there's even healthy living classes, parenting classes, stuff that will help you in the real world. And it's back to the history classes. I'm excited to take government next year as a senior because, you know, we go through all the amendments because I have a lot of friends that you know, just graduated that took government, and you know, you go through all the amendments, you go through the history of government, you go, so, and like I'm saying, I'm not speaking on behalf of all schools, but in my school, I still feel like there's still, you're still getting that background that you need.
See, the problem is, in school now, they do teach government, but they teach it from an authoritarian perspective. And I think that in the 21st century, we think the paradigm that's really going to define where we go as a nation. Mm-hmm. It's not Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. It's the authoritarian or libertarian.
Right.
And right now, the government teaches, when it teaches about government in our schools,
yeah,
it is they're just teaching the children that this is the government and you need to obey.
Right. Right.
That's it. But they don't teach you the founding principles upon which our Constitution was founded,
right,
about natural rights.
Right.
Were you taught about natural rights? When that's the core principle, the natural rights bestowed upon us by our creators,
right,
that we have inherently as human beings.
Right.
That's what the Constitution is about, but they omit that part because that would require independent thinking.
Because what they want to do is just kind of teach you
to obey.
Yeah.
Well,
about the Constitution. Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
Dewey. It's.
Well, how can you teach
Thomas
about
Dewey?
A Constitution? How can you teach about a Constitution that gives God-given rights if you take, you don't believe in God and we came from apes and dirt and stuff like that?
Don't say that, because Stanley is sitting there on the side.
Well, you don't have to teach about God, but
inherent human rights.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
just inherent.
The entire Bill of Rights are inherent rights given to human beings. The Second Amendment is about self-defense.
Freedom is a gift from the Almighty, is the, you know, famous quote. And,
oh, boy.
Any right. What?
Oh, boy.
Stanley, you called too late. Wait a minute. Not so blind, you're in the air.
Oh, boy.
God bless America, land that I love. Go ahead. Wait, not so blind. Go ahead.
No, I'm just trying to stay out of this because, you know, you can teach a lot of values and let folks know that it's okay to believe or not to believe, because that's one of the values we hold dearly in the Bill of Rights, is your right. You know, part of your right to free speech is also your right to not be forced to speak when you don't want to.
Yes.
This is true.
That's
go ahead. Go ahead, Stanley.
No, I agree over everything you're saying, except take out the God part, but everything that Alex's saying or everything that everybody's saying is true.
If you take out the God part, then what authority do we have natural rights by?
the laws that we decide as the people to decide. It's
okay,
the
then
what
if
we
you know, oh, wait a minute,
then,
Stanley.
Then you no longer have human rights.
Thank you.
What the government can take it away, Stanley.
The French decided that. And
hold on, Alabama, you cut right across
right.
them. Go ahead, Stanley.
The problem I have, Jake, is the government is us. We are the people. We decide. We choose the government. So if we choose not rightly the people that are supposed to represent us, it's our fault.
Wait a minute, Stanley. So you're saying we have a right to force every doctor in the United States to work for us for free because that's what we, the people, decided we want.
Well, if everybody in America decided tomorrow to say they want universal health care, what would you say? If everybody, American, if we had
that's
a
not what
of people.
That's not what I said to you, Stanley. I said if everybody, tomorrow morning, everybody in the United States voted to make every doctor work for free,
mm-hmm.
that we have a right to do that. Do we have a right to make every doctor work for free?
I think so, yeah.
You think
why,
so? Okay.
Wait a minute.
So if we vote,
so we can vote to bring back slavery. Go ahead.
So we can vote to bring back slavery.
It will never happen.
That's what you're telling me.
No, we didn't.
But it will never happen.
You're telling me.
What do you mean it never happened? It's one step away from it. You have so much unrest and so much poverty in the inner cities. You could easily build a fence around there and make people work for food.
But this is why.
Well, hold on. I wanted to jump in a minute ago, Jeff.
Okay, then hold on, brother.
This is exactly why it is so important that civics, the original constitutional philosophy, needs to be taught in school. Because obviously, Stanley is oblivious to it. Because it's just, you cannot, rights do not come from government. We have inherent rights because we are human, regardless of what other people vote.
Right.
The individual must be held above the collective.
Alabama, you're next up the stick.
Yeah. Right. And that stands on its
own.
That
was only
whether
the
you
point
believe
I was
in a just... God or not. It stands on
well,
its oh. own just because you're human and born.
Well, that's the point I was trying to make with the Haitian Revolution, which is Stanley's ancestors. People voted. Those people who were in the majority at the time wanted his people to be enslaved and work as slaves. They decided not to, and they rose up for their own freedom. And I think it was God-given that they were able to do. I'm glad he did it. They should have done it. And I don't think that you can just say, well, as long as the majority wants something, then you have to be oppressed because there are more white people in this country. And I saw a survey saying that they wanted us to leave and go back to Africa. So I guess Stanley's up for that.
Well, go on, Stanley. You're drinking the palm wine, man. Yeah.
The thing I don't agree is we don't need to put the God in it. It is just because we're human beings, we should have equal rights. So when Jeff is coming with God, I'm like,
Jeff didn't come with that. Jeff did not say that. Okay, Jeff did not say that. So stop it.
So what did you say, God?
It was somebody else that said that we were given that right by God.
Yes, and
in our Declaration of Independence, it says that we have inalienable rights bestowed upon us by our Creator. Now, however you want to take that, as God, as Allah, Jesus Christ, evolution,
Big Bang, whatever
you want, something created you. Mm-hmm. And so the founding philosophy is simply that whatever you believe, you have inalienable rights that no one, no government can take away from you.
And we forget you cannot have a right that requires an action on another human being.
Mm-hmm.
Because to claim a right that requires an action on another human being forces that other human being to become your slave.
Exactly.
Shouldn't
healthcare be a right?
No.
That's what a right to defend oneself comes into play.
I was being funny. Don't beat me up. I was being funny.
and that's the issue. I think healthcare should be a right. And a lot
How can
of
it be a right, Stanley? How can it be a right
because,
when it requires
because,
an action upon another human being?
Because, let me answer your question, Steve. Because if you don't have health care, if you don't have health, you don't have happiness. You take out happiness. The pursuit of happiness is your health. If you don't have health, you don't
got
have
that
happiness.
Mug up from up at us. So,
no,
you know,
who's talking? Somebody's talking. Is that unlisted caller? Are you there?
So once again,
that's
so once again, Stanley.
Go ahead.
So once again, Stanley, you claim to have a right to enslave your fellow American.
No, I'm not enslaving an African. I'm telling you that health care should be a right. Because if you're enslaving other
Americans.
It is a
right.
Like
you can go get health care anytime you want to go get it.
Yeah, by the cost of basically paying for the
rest you
of
want
your
it to be free. You want it to be free because this mess they just put up. You didn't hear my song, did you?
So you want to enslave your neighbor so you can have health care?
No, I want to have a universal health care so anybody.
No,
can
that's
have
what he wants.
Care.
He just don't want it to be that ugly. He wants that.
Stanley, that's exactly what universal health care
no,
is.
No.
Enslaving one man to provide another man.
I want
service.
Everybody to contribute. Let me.
And who pays?
I want everybody, not just you. Every American to pay that system. That's what I want.
So we have that. So now, Stanley, what if I don't want to, Stanley? What if I don't want to? What if I want to just keep my money that I work for because I deserve it in his mind?
Well,
in that case,
Alabama, I could say the same thing. If your house gets in fire, I could tell you we shouldn't go to your fireman because you know what? We shouldn't go to your fireman. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that.
No, the what? Well, slow down, Stanley.
Stanley.
You're not making sense.
Stanley.
I'm telling you,
like
the fireman that's basically responsible for making sure that all the houses, if there's a fire, that's going to be responsible.
No.
Stanley. Guess what, Stanley? In Goose Creek, South Carolina, if you do not pay the annual dues to the volunteer fire department and your house catches on fire, they ain't coming.
That's bad. That's wrong.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You have a choice whether you want them or not. And they also send a letter to your insurance carrier saying you have no fire protection at your house.
City firemen are paid for by your sales tax. So I'm talking about my income.
That's yours.
Because that's just paying the interest to the Federal Reserve, actually.
It's different
everywhere. That's paying the interest to the Federal Reserve, and I don't want to pay that.
So
why can't I say no?
Fire doesn't always get paid by sales tax. That's different everywhere.
Depending on your county.
On your county and what your state is up, because ours is a number one. Unlisted caller, you're in the air. Unlisted caller, you just called in. Okay, well, we'll hold it up then. All right. It's different, my friend. Go ahead.
Just want to come with one comment. What happens if we have health care without profit? Health care without profit in everything, that's what I believe in. Not healthcare.
You know what you got?
Stanley,
go ahead.
How can you
go
have
ahead.
Health care without profit? You're telling the doctors have to work for free? The nurses
the doctor
have
to
work
have
for free?
What does that have to do with the doctor have to work for free? Do the rest of the world, the doctors are working for free?
You mean health care insurance without profit? Is that what you mean?
No, I'm talking about the same universal health care that every other any other country has.
Hey, Stanley, what major medical breakthrough has come out of any of those nonprofit systems?
There we go.
Many.
Name me one.
Sure
name
many.
One.
I just have to do a research on Google. I'm sure there's.
And please
many.
Do that, please.
Please do because
rather than argue
theory, polio.
Let's stay on fact. Stanley, do your research and bring it to the table here, and we
okay,
will.
Okay, no problem.
You. Thank you.
But the thing is, I don't believe in healthcare with profit because if we bring the profit things, a lot of doctors are doing the things that they're doing because they want to have money. They're not doing the best. We don't live in a country that basically saying, you know what, we want to have the best health care. We want to have the best for our people.
I hate to tell you this, but we do have the best health care in the world, Stanley, and I'm going to have a guy come on Wednesday and explain why we do.
No, you don't.
Stanley!
Go ahead.
Stop, brother.
Can I interject something?
Hold on. The thing is you can't do that. We don't agree with you, so let him finish his statement. You said what you wanted to say. And now he's got to finish his. Go ahead, Stick.
I'm done.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to chime in just real quick.
Alabama.
that the road.
Hold on now, Ben.
There's a saying that the road to hell is paved by
good intentions.
And what Stanley, what you're proposing is you have. I'm sure you have good intentions, but what you want to do is force everyone in the country to comply to your belief. And what happens when the next guy gets in office with a different belief, and then you set the precedent that you can force everyone to do what you believe. So, and that's really the problem, and that's the road to hell and tyranny, and we want to avoid that. And that's what the Constitution is really all about. I would really like for you to to just research with the founding philosophy of that document.
You know what? Go ahead, Alabama.
Well, the thing, that this is a myth that the left uses a lot of times. What they'll say is, we don't have the best health care system. What they fail to tell you is we don't have the best preventative health care system, but we have the best catastrophic health care system. Like if you're in another country, yeah, if you're trying to get your teeth cleaned or you broke a finger or something, yeah, you can go. It's better in other countries because it's free. But if you're trying, if you got cancer, then it's better in America.
You have people coming. Wheeling, West Virginia, you have people coming all the way from all over the world to Wheeling, West Virginia for cancer treatment.
Six, there's people around the world.
That's what Fidel Castro came here.
Six, there's people around the world that's going to France. There's people around the world that's going to Canada. There's people around the world that's
going to... Why did Fidel Castro come here, though, Stanley?
Do not think that it's just the United States they're going to.
Stanley,
broadcasting from the...
Detroit, Michigan. About half of the people in the hospitals in Detroit, Michigan come here from Canada because they can't get treatment in Canada. We have more MRI machines in New York City than they have in the entire nation of Canada.
Yeah, but we have the lowest, we have lower lifetime of living in the United States compared to Canada, to France, and everything.
You know why? We eat more, we walk less, we drink too much,
and we're
smoke too much.
We're
more
to
diverse
being the
genetically. Stanley, we are more diverse genetically because of our open door policy. We have people living in this country who their natural genes don't allow them because they're from third world countries, and that takes four or five generations to breed that out, the diseases.
Whoa, it has nothing to do with diseases. We're the fattest nation in the world.
We also have a more generous policy towards
disabled.
You're right, Stanley, but what's that got to do with health care? Now are you going to force me to get on a treadmill?
Everything to do with health.
Are you going to force me to get on a treadmill every day? I'm overweight.
Wait. Are you saying me that?
Stanley, I'm overweight. Are you going to send the brown shirts to my house to make sure I walk on my treadmill every day?
Michelle Obama's coming.
She is.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Look, Doc, you got a twisted view of reality here. Because see, this is supposed to be the land of the free, home of the brave. Not the hand of the controlled and pressed down and forced to give up because you want it. I'm not giving you nothing because you want it.
No.
Well, this is what I got to say. I'm not just saying. We got to go. You know, see, 90 seconds. That means it's over for the day. I'm going to leave all you guys open for a little while as I pack up and get ready to go home. You can talk in the chat room. Sticks, Aaron, welcome back. Alex, welcome, period, for the first time. Caller Alex is here in the room with us, and we appreciate having him there. And all the callers online, we appreciated you and what you gave up today. God bless you. We'll see you Monday, same time, same bat station. Tracy will be back, and we'll get it rocking and rolling Monday morning again. But we're going to go out with Mr. Timmy Thomas. Can't we all get together, live together?
No more walk, no more walk, no more walk. Just a little peace. No more walk, no more walk. All we want. Everybody wants to live together.
wants to steal my fire.
To a retired police officer who was killed by a falling tree in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Everybody's crying and everything.
Tennessee, Arkansas, Georgia all hit on Thursday. More severe storms are possible today. They could be popping up in the next few hours. I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
Yeah.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-95-STEEL.
Call now to lock in your price.
866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
For anybody who has ever tried to quit smoking, you know it's a tough and sometimes seemingly impossible habit to break. But a new study suggests text messages might help. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bryan.
Smokers who use a popular texting program to quit are more than twice as likely as others to be successful. In a recent study, more than 500 smokers were followed for 6 months. Among those using the program, text to quit, 11% managed to kick the habit. Users could send a text that said crave and get motivational messages at no cost. Among those not getting the text messages, the success rate was just 5%. Participants submitted saliva tests.
Okay. I got through to Sticks. He told Jeff to turn off the live feed so we could chat. Alex, you here still? I guess not. We lost Alex. Stanley, you here still? Anybody here still?
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Now I can hear you. Hey, Stanley.
I hate
when we go down these roads of why can't they leave you alone? You know, if you were believe you were your higher power is your mother because she gave you birth, then why can't they just leave that the hell alone, Stanley?
Yeah. Well,
you know, I have a religious belief, but my religious belief doesn't allow me to beat you up for yours. That's the God I believe in, you know?
I agree.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing in that is that then it turns comes into the first Article 1 of the Constitution where they don't respect any religion.
I know. It's like they, you know, you can't talk about constitutional rights when it only is the ones you want for you and then to hell with everyone else's.
Wow. That's another problem we have in our nation, and that's going to be a big problem. I want to come back to one thing that I heard. That, you know,
Hang on a second. Hey, Stanley, let's see if we can get whoever's on a cell phone with wind in the background to mute yourself.
Okay, can you call, can you put it on mute, please, people? Thank you. Can you put it on mute, please? Whoever has it on the background, please.
Whoever's on a cell phone in a windy place or outdoors, can you? Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Okay, I want to come back to the thing that everybody thinks that the United States is the best healthcare in the world. It's not. I do not agree
with that. It's not in your area.
It's based on what? It's the best healthcare. What are we basing on that you're saying it's the best healthcare in the world?
I don't know. That's one of those chauvinistic debates that nobody can win, okay, because it depends what statistics you want. So I stay out of that one, Stanley. All I know is I just hope if I'm told that something comes up in my life health-wise that I can get effective treatment and afford it. That's all I care. You know what I mean? Winning the debate on who's right on that one's not as important as being healthy. I wish whoever that is would mute their phone.
Can you please mute your phone?
Not me. You got a lot of medical tourism away from the United States, as well as you have some come to the U.S.
And they always come back with the example that the rest of the world, they're coming and flock to the United States to get operations. They're coming to the United States, don't get me wrong. But they're going to other countries also.
Alabama, is that you?
Alabama, is that you? I'll be back in a second. Hang on. Let me see if I can get six. If they're still in the studio, maybe they can see who that is and mute that line.
So, Pionki.
Yeah.
So what do you say when people in America are coming out with that craziness of telling you, well, you know, everybody around the world is coming to our country to basically have operations?
Well, you got a lot of Americans that travel abroad for medical operations, too, because it's cheaper and quality just as well.
What the hell? Oh, great. Wow. Hey, so good.
Yeah, well, it must have been somebody.
So that's the problem I have. It's like we have to look at our healthcare, and we're not the best healthcare in the world. The life expectancy is very bad here. I'm sorry.
Well.
And the quality of your health is not as great as you think. And if you have healthcare and you have a major problem here, good luck to bankruptcy. 60% of people, Americans, who have bankruptcy is because of healthcare issues.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah, and the insurance they have because of the Affordable Health Act, they can't afford to pay the damn deductible.
Exactly. They've totally screwed the system. But there is a difference between having the right to seek health care and having the government give it to you at the expense of wrecking the entire system. The reason for our mortality, Stanley, is 50% of the men in the United States die before age 56. Most of it is because of the type of work they do. We have more hazardous jobs in the United States, including the deaths in our military and everything else. That warps our longevity statistics, too. And, of course, we have a lot of bad habits, and the proof of that is the diet we eat, because when other countries in the world come over to our side of the Western diet, they begin within 20 years having all the same health issues of heart disease and diabetes and everything else. So it's a complicated issue. It isn't just the system.
It's not just the system, but there's some stuff that we shouldn't be proud of. We're the fattest nation in the world, and we're proud of it. And I don't understand that.
Alabama is the fattest state in the union. With something 70 or 80%.
No, it's Mississippi. It's not Alabama. It's Mississippi.
No, really? Well, I'll have to call my friends in Mississippi and say they got the title back again because they worked hard on that title.
It's like, I don't understand that philosophy. And everybody's like, yeah, we're the fattest nation, so what? I'm like, really? And you
well,
don't 5, see that this is in hell?
We would have been considered kings and gods because we were fat because we could afford food, you know? That's where that came from. Yeah. Yeah. In Charles Dickens' day, to be a little obese was proof of successful because you could buy enough food to get fat. So, anyway, I'm just sorry, Stanley, that you have different beliefs than I do, but I just still don't like to see you called stupid and attacked and called a liar and everything else. That's not the way to have an open discussion. It's just not. And I've been very upset yesterday and today hearing the way you get treated.
No, I appreciate your thing, but I truly believe everything that the Constitution is saying. I just don't believe that we need God with it and everything, but we have right because we're just human, and that's so true. Now, we need to find out, is healthcare a right? I believe it is. Some people don't.
Well, if you read the Federalist Papers, that's why it says you have inalienable rights from your creator. It did say God, and they argued on that and took God out. If you read the Federalist Papers, which were the three people who actually took notes during the Constitutional Congress, the Constitutional Convention, excuse me, when they actually wrote the Constitution, that point was greatly debated, and they took the word God out and just said by your creator. As an atheist, you could believe your creator was your mother and father, and because they had rights, they blessed you with those when you were born. You know, if you want to take it to that level. But then but you're right. They did debate the point God and did do what they could do to take it out.
Well, George Washington was not a believer.
I
think he had somebody sit by his bedside when he died to make sure that no one would write and said he called upon God before he went away.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Thomas Jefferson?
No, George
Washington.
Right. Oh, okay, George Washington. Jefferson's last words were to one of his children, and he slipped into a coma and died like 6 hours later. So he really never had last words. John Adams, who died the exact same day as Thomas Jefferson, coincidentally, on the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, they both died on July 4th, 1826 or 1836, whatever it was, 50 years after the signing. Yeah, it would have been 36. Adams' words, even though he and Jefferson used to fight worse than Jeff and Stanley, okay, because they had different philosophies of the government and what form it should take. Adams' comfort and his last words were, at least Jefferson survives, meaning that though I disagree with him, I know he loves the country and will protect it. And that were his last words. He did not know that Thomas Jefferson had died also that same day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of eerie and spooky. A lot of presidents have died on July 4th. It's pretty amazing. Like 7 of them or something have died on July 4th.
You know what they, if they could come back, there's two things I know that they would have done. One, they would have defined life in the womb, and they would have defined marriage between a male and a female. Mm-hmm. What do you think if they had done that, where would we be today? Same sexes wouldn't even have an argument to stand on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you see that too?
I think because they didn't address it, that says they what you said is what they believe. They didn't see any need to address it because they didn't because it just in their mind never came up that it could be any other way, you know.
But if it had been put in the Constitution, then
yeah.
Roe versus Wade never could have came about, and also,
right.
This thing with the, what did the notes, what did the Obama and them, Dormer Act, I think it was, that never would have, the federal government could not recognize, you know, same-sex arrangements.
Right. And yet it's all over the argument of the definition of the word marriage. That's where, see, I don't care what anybody does as far as having a partner for life. That's your own darn business. I don't care. I mean, if you have a pet donkey, hey, then, you know, that's your significant other. Great. That's your life. That's your right to have that. I resent the fact that the gay movement tried to basically took a hostile approach by trying to redefine the word marriage, okay? if the word marriage meant something to a certain group of people as it was defined, it's okay to fight for equal rights. It's okay to do lots of that stuff, but you just don't attack other people's belief systems. And if it was really all about being able to see your significant other in the hospital, you know, when you're gay versus when you're married or not married, because you're not married, you're not considered a spouse, you don't have the right to see them, that could have just been easily changed with a simple administration change across the nation in hospitals, because that was one of the arguments that came up. Then, you know, you as the patient, you can put an approved list out at the front desk who's allowed to come in and see you.
Oh, absolutely right.
Because
I'll tell you
some family members I don't want to come see me. That'll push me over the edge and kill me.
Hey,
I would
look,
trust them around me, you know?
You know, there was two definable reasons in this argument. One, the one you just mentioned, and the other one, which could have easily been solved too, was spousal benefits.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, called lifetime contract or partner, or you know, like almost like under common law marriage. It could be handled the same way. And you can define your real property and who has the contractual right to title to share that with you. And then all that would have changed was a simple form, like beneficiary on health benefits or whatever, that you just fill in and here's the name of the person that's, you know, I want my hard work to benefit. It could have been handled so much simpler than creating this great social rift, because you're dealing with cults. When you're dealing with people with strong religious convictions, both ways, Stanley, be they atheist,
yeah,
or be they whatever denomination, you're dealing with cult members who think like cult members, they behave like cult members, and their first plan is to attack anybody who challenges their beliefs. And it's not the way to have a social debate on anything. Attacking people is never good.
I think that the gay community, like you said, just wanted to have the same right. And I agree with you. Maybe we should have done it in a better way, but we shouldn't basically say to those people, if you want to have the same right, we should just let them have the same right. Like
but
I,
they
like
had
you,
the
I,
same
I,
rights
I,
as
see,
the citizens.
The point. And exactly. And, you know, Bianchi, that is Bianchi who said that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you on that, because instead of niching the Constitution to pieces, saying, okay, now black people have rights, now, you know, yellow people have rights, now short people have rights, now gay people have rights, how about if you're a human being walking on two legs, you're covered.
You're covered, exactly.
And that's it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just don't understand the whole...
All this does make lawyers rich. That's all this does.
Oh, law. If you decided tomorrow to do that, the law and lawyer would be against you. You'd be like,
yeah,
we don't have no money now.
Well, that's why you can't get medical tort reform. You know, nobody who burned themselves with a cup of coffee from McDonald's needed $30 million to heal from a thigh burn.
That's why I strongly believe that a lot of doctors, that's why I don't like the healthcare with profit, because if we took out the profit of the healthcare and we would tell doctors, now you got to find a way to basically cure people naturally,
uh-huh,
a lot of doctors would go back to nutrition and find out what their patient are eating. And they would find out that they could resolve a lot of issues that the people have with food.
Well, yeah.
Not
well,
with
I
pharmacy.
Well, I always resented the fact that you pay your doctor, and even if what he told you to do didn't work, your privilege was to pay him again to try something else on you. And if that didn't work, you pay him again. And I used to say, you know, when I was a carpenter and somebody called me because they had a leaky roof, guess what? If the water was still pouring in, I wasn't getting paid.
Exactly.
You know, somebody called me to fix a broken pipe in a basement or electrical circuits had gone out. Until the power was back on, I couldn't hold out my hand and say, here's the invoice, pay me.
You know, it's like with healthcare, there's so many ways to resolve people's issues without the pharmacy, natural ways,
yeah,
nutrition,
yeah,
ways. I think the doctor should learn all those things. They should basically say, when you're a doctor, let them teach every way possible to resolve that issue.
Right, right.
From the natural way all the way to pharmacy.
Then you got to change the way medical schools are funded, because right now most medical schools are funded by pharmacology money. And they help set the curriculum, and it's all chemo medicine Western doctors are taught. It's
exactly
all about chemicals.
Yeah.
I understand.
Even and the worst is, I went to my doctor and everything and found a way to do some change in everything, and my blood pressure got down, this and that. And she was still telling me, oh, you still could take the pill. I'm like,
I found a way to resolve those issues, and you're still asking me to use this?
Okay. Well, Stanley, here, let me help you lower your blood pressure. Stop fighting with Jeff. Just know when he says something, you just need to go, you know what, Jeff, you're right.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
And I need to do like Wayne Dyer says. I am supposed to take control of my feet, of my sentiment, not let other people influence. It's
Yeah, and Stanley, see, if Jeff kills you, then that helps win your argument about how we don't live that long in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Well, fellas, I'm getting ready to head out of here. It's
11:30.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, take care.
Me too. I'm about to go. I have to go back to my family, things like that.
Yeah.
Take care.
Stanley, I'll send you that email with that link, and I apologize for taking so long. It's just
no problem. I bid on a big contract.
As soon as
you send it to me and everything, I'll send you the thing of Amazon,
the
whole program and everything.
Yeah.
I'll just send it to you maybe by zip drive or whatever. I'll find a way to transfer it to you. It's a program that I got from a friend who I trained. So if you're interested, I'll send it to you also. It's very interesting.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No problem.
Take care, Stanley. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.